The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song, only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump. My hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and we're awaiting yet some more snow.
Giddy up.
It's not going to snow that much. But
no, a couple inches.
But cold here in Foxborough. I don't know where you're listening from, but...
It's hot in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Good day, mates.
We're still in the throes of winter here.
And it sucks. Of course, they are in the throes of summer down there.
The hot stove is getting a little hot.
It is?
It is? No, not really. Well, no. The franchise tag.
If it is, let's get close to it.
Calendar has opened
here.
Up.
Yeah, no one's done anything.
No one's done anything. But
so where's the heat?
But we're keeping an eye on that.
The heat sounds like the wide receiver tight end is going to be the heat this year. Finally, somebody could challenge the I'm a wide receiver, I'm a tight end. Jimmy Graham.
Well, Jimmy Graham,
Aaron Hernandez,
yeah,
JerMichael Finley.
Jimmy
types.
Graham has said if they, you know, tag me as a tight end, he'll immediately appeal it.
Because it's a $4-point-something million difference.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't – Pitta is less – I mean, Jimmy Graham's a wide receiver. He lines up as a wide receiver. Now, the issue, it's sort of like the old Richard Seymour issue. He wanted to be a defensive tackle on the Pro Bowl ballot so he could be like a 10-time Pro Bowler. But then when he gets paid, he wants to be
a defensive end.
Because they make
Can't
more
have
money.
It both ways.
Well, Jimmy Graham, you won't go to as many Pro Bowls if you want to be called a wide receiver.
True.
Because you'll have good numbers. Mm-hmm. You're still going
right.
to be in the mix.
Right.
But you're Calvin Johnson, AJ
right.
Green, whoever.
Right.
As a
you
tight
can
end,
be
you're
the best tight end
or
among the better
top
wide
10 receivers,
right.
top 5.
Right.
So,
right.
but it sounds like this could be the year that it sort of comes
yeah.
to a head or something has to be done.
All right. So that's out there. Free agent tags, who might be tagged? What are the Patriots going to do?
I don't think they're going to.
Well, more and more people, Mike Reese, Jeff Howe have written now that they don't think either guy, Edelman or
well, not
Tlaib.
Edelman. Edelman's not even in the conversation.
But they don't think they're going to use the tag. Basically.
Maybe they were listening to PFW in Progress last week.
See, I think they should tag. I'm scared to death they're just going to.
Well,
Tlaib gone.
Then the last
gone.
Paragraph to both is, you know,
he's going to Tlaib
using
down.
The tag just, you know, for an interim period to get.
Well, that's tagging.
Buy
that's,
you some time.
That's a tag, though.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, read the tag why they're doing it. Will they or won't they tag him? I would tag him because I would be afraid to just lose him.
Right.
There are teams with $50, $60 million in cap space out there. One of them could just
You're
say,
talking about
here.
Tlaib.
Yeah. Edelman is not in the conversation.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whoever brought Edelman in the
just
tag
Just
want to
clarify it. Just want to
Why would he be in this conversation?
Just want to clarify it.
Well, because
why
he's
are
a
you
free
gonna,
agent
well,
and he's
you can
one of
tag
the top
him as a
two players.
I mean, you're not... You're going to pay him 10-point-whatever million. He's not even in the mix.
No.
It's Tlaib or nothing.
Right. Okay. Just want to clarify. You don't have to get all riled
up. Hot stove's hot now.
Just want to clarify.
Put a food order in, and all of a sudden, everything got hot. When
you guys are leaving for the combine tomorrow.
Mañana.
So that'll be good. You'll be calling in on Thursday during the show.
Paul will.
Oh, you won't?
I don't know. You always call too early, and we're just starting in that. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
I get overwhelmed, and there's coaches.
So one thing that we'll throw out there for today's show is if there's any particular player that you want Paul and Andy and Patriots today to maybe keep an eye on for you? How does it work? Does not every player has access, right, yes, to the media? Oh, they do.
99% of the players will be there. And once in a while, a guy kind of slips through the cracks.
Right. But it's not one at a time. Like, they're available. Certain
usually come in groups. Four.
Right. Right.
Then those guys come out another four, okay, five. It's very Super Bowl like, where there's podiums. There's three podiums. So a couple, you know, Michael Sam, Johnny Manziel, those are all podium guys.
Right.
And then there's tables, okay, where they'll just be, and they'll announce, you know, place kicker number 17, Joe Schmo, now at table 7.
Okay, so it's very much like they do for the Super Bowl.
It's a free-for-all, yeah, too. I mean, you, yeah, can go, oh, yeah, wherever you want, yeah,
talk
to whoever you want.
There'll be several guys talking at the same time.
Right. And at times you can get, you know, Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater could be there at
all
the
right,
same
time. So if you do send us an email with someone that you want these guys to talk to, you have to give us a valid reason why.
Right. Like, you know, Arthur Lynch.
Right.
Why is he being overlooked because of all the underclassmen when really he's among the best tight ends in the draft?
Right. So basically,
who has like five catches?
You know, give these guys an assignment, but make it worth their while.
Correct.
You know. Okay. So that'll be interesting. All right.
Tight end would appear to be the top position of both need and of interest for Patriots fans, with Amaro,
sure,
and Ebron and the kid out of Washington, who now people have higher and lower, and Mayock, and seems like tight end is the way to.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll free number.
Paul's just using your line all the time now.
It's not even a line. It's just sick. What do you think of that?
About
position.
Sick?
Their position.
Oh.
You tight end?
It doesn't come to mind first for me. No,
yeah, me
pass
neither.
Rusher, cornerback, wide receiver. More to me.
Oh, I would put tight end ahead of wide receiver, but I would put the other two before tight
pass
end.
Pass rusher and cornerback.
Yep, in that order.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, I think we. Again, I'm assuming Gronk's going to be back at some point.
At some point,
you know?
And he'll be Gronk at some point.
If you
point.
Tell me that he's gone, then okay, now tight end rises.
Well, I think you need to remove him early from being a focal point of your offense.
Do you think that he'll play the first regular season game?
What?
Do you think he'll play the first regular season game?
No,
or he'd be on PUP?
He'll be on PUP to start camp.
Right.
Where
that
goes,
that option
I mean,
open.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We're a long ways away.
But that's fine with me if
you
have to start without him, or if he slowed early in the season. Obviously, you're in big trouble if he's not available in the playoffs again, like he hasn't been the last couple of years. So,
right.
I mean, that's an issue that's hard to get past. But I don't, you know, this whole thing with the tight ends, I think, you know, you don't have to have, like, multiple elite tight ends. That's not the only way to do it.
Right.
No, but you need one. Not even elite. You need a productive tight end, in my
opinion.
Starting
tight end.
And they don't have a productive tight end when Gronk is not out there. They don't. It's who everybody tells me is great and can catch
right.
everything.
I agree with
but
that.
But he doesn't do anything.
But
right
I'm not going to assume
roster,
I'm not.
They don't have someone.
But I'm not going to assume that they don't have a tight end. They don't without Gronk. I agree with that. But I'm not going to assume that I'm not going to have Gronk at all just because he's been hurt. I can get a tight end. I don't have to use a first-round pick on a tight end. It's basically
so,
my
Andy,
point.
Are you saying tight end's your number one priority in terms of need?
Early on, it's a major focus of mine.
What do you mean early on?
Early on. Right now, as I get into it. And
oh, okay.
I don't know enough about all the various
scouting
prospects.
Process.
And
yeah.
I look at pass rushers. Oh, well, this guy is just too much to pass up. Or if Amaro and Ebron or I got to learn the other kid's name, Jenkins.
Safarian Jenkins.
If they're the three best and they're gone, well, then no, I'm not taking the fourth best tight end. I need to start to
right.
get an idea
sure.
of how my board stacks, not only horizontally, but also vertically.
There's a first.
Yeah,
there's the first reference of that for the year.
And it also will adjust if they sign Julius Peppers after he gets cut. Well, I'm not sure pass rush is as high now. If they lose Aqib Talib, I now put corner at the top of my list. If Aqib Talib's not a Patriot, corner is the biggest need in my mind, by far.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Right.
Because we stink when he's not out there.
Right.
So
I would agree with that. If you lose Talib, then I would put cornerback ahead of pass rusher.
Yep.
But some of that could be affected by free agency,
it's very
which starts
fluid. Everything's yeah. fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, well,
speaking of fluid,
well, speaking of scouting and all that,
I don't know where this is going.
From what I hear, the Mike Lombardi thing is—he's on the Patriots.
Oh, it seems that way.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess we'll never announce it or know it, or
right.
we'll see him.
Unless
somewhere.
We see him walking in the
right,
hallway
right.
or something.
You'll see him like getting on a plane or something for the first preseason
right.
game. Before, oh, him, Mike Lombardi is, in fact, on the Patriots.
So the question is he, when we talked about it last year, is he just here kind of waiting until the next job comes open, or is he really going to have a role in personnel? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. We just don't know.
You know?
I would.
He could also be Caserio insurance. What if Nick said, I'm coming back for one more year, but if I'm getting interviews next year, that might be my year.
Bench strength. You're right.
See, I think he's, I think he's earlier in his career than Floyd Reese was when he got here.
Oh,
I
yes.
think when Floyd got here, it was kind of like he could have gone back to television. He could have retired. This was sort of an in-between kind of thing. He kind of kept himself in it and sort of slowly got into retirement.
Whereas, plus, he didn't want to run in Bristol. He liked running better here.
Yeah. But well, Lombardi, to me, seems like he's got
run
a lot more left
used.
In
oh,
the
yeah.
tank,
sure.
career-wise.
Yeah.
And
does he?
This, to me, it'd be more than just filling in where Floyd Reese did
yeah.
as sort of like a nominal figurehead kind of.
Well, he's also
role.
More of a scout than a negotiator, and Floyd, I think, was more of a negotiator than a scout.
Okay.
So I think that might be a little different. Not that he, you know, can't do contracts, but
right.
his whole thing is like he's a personnel guy more than negotiating contracts. And we had heard that Floyd was more on the contract side of things, kinda.
Okay. All right.
But none of that means anything. I mean, who knows? You know, titles are fine. Nothing wrong with them.
And you know, Caserio did. Go to Miami to at least talk about the job, and you know, to what degree he talked, we don't know. But he's got his, you know, he's willing to talk about these things.
Correct.
So, you know, he's not going to be the GM here. You know,
or it could just be Bill's boy, and they're bringing him in because he's Bill's boy.
Could
I mean,
be.
Who knows?
Like I said, like we talked about, you know, maybe they're not paying him much because he's being paid by
that would be my
Cleveland.
And, right. He's just like everything else. It's value. He sees value in players. He sees value in coaches. He
right.
sees value in front office
sure.
guys. I can get a guy who's
he just
a voice.
Sees no value in the team newspaper.
Well, maybe if somebody else were paying for the team newspaper and.
And then I thought it was interesting, just throwing it out there, I saw a tweet from the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon that the next speaker for the speaker series will be Dante Scarnecchia.
Nice.
So that might be interesting.
Yep, get your tickets. He's interesting to
definitely
hit.
Has
he
some
should
things
start
to talk
by just
about.
Yelling at the crowd, like pretending they're offensive. You effing morons. You heard me. Effing morons.
Nice.
So check the Hall at Patriot Place.
I would
.com.
Greatly urge people. I think this will be very good.
Yeah.
His experiences, his career, the nicest man, articulate, yeah.
the
very much
is
worth
the
it.
The Hall has decided to break it up into four parts.
So
four parts speaker so series.
One other
presented by Raytheon.
Combine related factoid. It would appear as if the Patriots once again will not have a representative at the podium.
Well, they won't have somebody at the podium. That's
yes,
not happening.
A lot of tweets going on about that.
That is, but well, I shouldn't actually say that because Bill was not scheduled to go to the podium the year
Correct.
He went to the podium. And if he shows up on Sunday, Corey Rush will allow him to take a podium, turn the mic on, and talk.
But I guarantee,
which is why I said that it appears as if.
Right, I guarantee you there'll be some type of media avail.
I wouldn't guarantee.
No,
that.
I wouldn't.
To
there
Nick,
wasn't
either Nick or him
to us
sometime
maybe,
during the combine.
Maybe to us, maybe to us well, but may- not like last year. They
it was
they
just
did not
us.
Have that.
Yeah.
It was Paul and
just
Bilo.
Me and Bilo.
Jackie,
right.
it'll be Jackie and Paul talking to somebody. I guarantee you're right. Somebody from the front office
your hands that again
will speak.
Second year in
right.
a row.
But it may just be to us. It may be the rare Patriots.com exclusive.
Right. So,
or the, it could be the Nick chat.
Now,
we
the,
could hope that
as of now, you know, according to Twitter, there's about eight or nine other head coaches who aren't scheduled to be at the podium.
Joe Philbin, good call.
Yeah.
Yes. There, but
why are you all yelling at me?
To my count, there are only three teams that will not be represented at the
at
podium.
All.
At all.
Yeah.
It's always like that. It's
there's
always under five.
Oh, yeah. The Saints often are one yeah. of them.
I think there's nine coaches in eight front offices will not be represented. The Patriots, the Saints, and the Cowboys, I believe. The Cowboys, the one to me that's a little odd. We'll have
I'm
neither.
Sure Jerry will talk to somebody at some point.
Well, he's actually going to hire another coach just to do combine interviews. That guy doesn't get to call the plays, doesn't be the head coach.
So,
or you could just go on the bus when it's parked outside the building
right.
with a big
that's
star
I mean.
On it.
He'll be around town.
Oh yeah, he'll be drinking it up with somebody.
I also like
his next head coach.
You know, as Fred said, you know, there's a lot of Twitter scuttlebutt about this particular thing, and a lot of reminisces to the last time that Bill actually went to the podium and
left us.
It was really just
well. Somebody said
it was 15 minutes is basically how long the coaches and the GMs go up there, and there was about 13 minutes of his monologue.
Right,
and actually, there were no questions.
Jeff Hauer, somebody sent a link. It's up on Patriots.com. It was 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you go back in the archives, you can actually see that whole thing. And I had it timed at 21 minutes with 15 minutes of being a monologue.
And it was the one, if you remember, his main topic to open was all the people that weren't there. Mike Shanahan, I can't believe we've got a league where Mike Shanahan's not here.
Right. Yeah.
Went off on this, maybe this is the year again because Mike Shanahan's not in the league anymore.
I remember when, this was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
That was the one I wrote the update from memory.
But, if you're a head coach, and I'm not saying everyone has to do it the same way, but really, unless you're just going to talk about philosophy from a 50,000 feet level and the history of it, you're not going to give them any information. There's really nothing I want to tell you,
But some people do.
Some do, but
I mean, actually, a lot of teams offer up some nuggets of information. We've been talking to Aqib and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Just a comment on the situation.
Yeah, and a lot of the questions aren't really draft related, too. They're more team because
it's a state of the team.
You haven't talked to Belichick since the day after since Dirty Welker took out the Patriots. That was the last time that we've talked
to the Assassin.
That was the last time that we've spoken to Belichick. So there are like the franchise tag. Haven't used it. Have used it. Any thoughts? But we won't really get that opportunity to do that with Belichick. Those are the questions that I remember. Jim Schwartz was one of the first guys last year. It was all Cliff Averill.
Right.
They were talking about Cliff Averill, and that was a guy I thought the Patriots might be interested in. 5 minutes in, Andy and I, and we also, at the beginning, you got a little jump in your step. We're blogging stuff, and hey, there's a Patriots.
That'll win by Thursday afternoon.
I treat the combine coverage like I treated the one time I ran the 400 in high school and indoor track. I sprinted out of the gates and struggled.
You were like those cross country guys when you finished skiing.
And then one other nugget that came out last week at the end of the week: Roger Goodell's salary. With bonus came to about $42 million.
Fred just touched
and,
his
there was
face
the,
with his pinky.
There was the
thought it was
expected.
44.
I think a lot of people question. Why should the commissioner of football get that much, or any league get that much money?
What does the CEO of a $10 billion company make?
Probably around there, I would think.
So isn't that what he is? Doesn't he run the?
No, I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, it's a big number, and initially, and if I were a player,
salary, a lot of it's bonus.
Yeah, but that's salary. I mean, it's all kind of mixed in together. Yeah.
Likely to be earned bonus.
Yeah. But if I'm a player, I certainly. Whoa! You guys couldn't do business with us because your business model was flawed, and you got a commissioner's. Maybe that's the flaw in your business model. Your commissioner's making $45 million. If I'm a player who feels like he's making nothing and getting railroaded, or an ex-player with medical issues, that would bother me.
Well, should the commissioner of the NFL make more money than Tom Brady or,
Peyton
Manning?
They all do. Right?
I know, but...
I mean, is there any industry where the decision-makers don't make more?
See, but I
look are they really the decision-maker?
Yeah.
Aren't the owners the decision-maker?
See,
whatever.
I'm with
he's
Fred
at the
on
top
this.
Of the pyramid.
I don't look at it. I don't look at him like a CEO.
No,
I don't think of it that way. I agree more with Fred.
Then in that case, the owners,
are
the board
of directors. But the board really has the power.
They can oust the CEO when
sure.
they want.
Yeah, but he is the point man. It's Goodell's
right.
code
he's
of conduct.
As a
it's
CEO
Goodell's.
Is. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
going to be, if something goes bad, it's Goodell's name that'll be attached to it, not
right.
Jerry Richardson or Robert Kraft. They are, yes, the board of directors, and they hold the power in the end, but it's his name. And I think that's the role.
I think he should be paid a lot.
Oh, I don't
it's
think
a
he should.
Tough job.
I think when you get that job, you do.
But I think there's a lot of pressure.
What's tough about it?
I think it becomes your
Robert
life.
Comes in and negotiates your CBA for you. Robert comes in and negotiates your TV contracts for you. I mean, what do you do? Oh, God, a guy got a DUI, so I suspend him for a week. That was tough.
You really think that's the extent of it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then he's overpaid.
And he can pretend he doesn't know what the fans want.
I don't think
the fans have said they want 18 games.
I look at it
what
that
fans
way.
Where? What fan and where said that?
They don't.
I look
that.
At it that way, Andy.
I would take the job in a heartbeat.
I think it's an easy job.
Of course.
I think
and
no matter what the NFL does right now, it's a license to print money.
Or get fired.
I'm out.
After a year.
Well.
Because I think they've made so many missteps, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Just, let's... we can't do this. Our product is suffering. Our game has never been worse. And we'll add Thursday and we'll add a Thursday night game to it. See if we can make it even worse. And what happens? The ratings go through the roof. The money just pours in from elsewhere. No one wants a team in London, but we're going to keep talking about it. We'll keep talking about putting a franchise over there and they'll do it.
All the
they'll
fans in London say, we don't want a team in London.
and I don't think there's a team out there that has more of
and
a connection
London.
To London than we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I say that completely anecdotally because I don't know what the other 31 teams do, but I feel like we have a real connection. And
We're England.
Conservatively, 95% of the people we talk to, the Warrens and and all those guys that write into our show all the time, tell us they don't want their own team over there.
Right.
But don't you think within a decade you're going to have a team over there?
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certainly
yeah,
looks
not
like
because
that.
Goodell says it.
And
it'll because
work.
Robert says it.
And it'll work. It's just like I'm with Andy. I don't think it's a hard job at all. I think it's idiot-proof.
Well, I think, you know, you're swaying me because also you factor.
That never happens.
You factor in also the number of people he has working for him, helping him make those decisions. I mean, if I had an army of people for every topic and lawyers to advise me.
It's a figurehead role. For the most part, it's a figurehead.
That's a lot of money for a figurehead.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's Andy's point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think that's how it works. There's a lot of figurehead roles that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
In a lot of places.
But it is his life. I mean, you give up your life for the term that you are commissioner.
I doubt it.
Oh, I think so.
I doubt it.
No?
No.
Really?
You give up your life?
Yeah,
you What does that even mean?
Your life is your job.
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
See, that part I...
What, do you think he's answering emails at 11 o'clock at night?
Yes.
Or something?
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I think you answer if your cell phone rings and it says RKK, I think you answer.
And I think that's happening.
But I think sometimes you answer from Hawaii. I think sometimes you answer from the golf course or whatever he likes to do.
Yeah, I think all day, every day, you're consumed by the job.
No, ridiculous.
I don't think it's all day, every day.
Really?
Yeah, it's football.
Yeah.
It's still, like Andy said, a $50 billion enterprise.
I thought it was 10.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it only 10?
I think it's only 10.
Or
only
11 still pretty
or somewhere
big.
In there.
It's many billions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
not quite that many.
I don't know. I'm not really qualified to. What exactly is the day-to-day responsibility that would equate to business? Like a real business? Like where you're monitoring, you know, your stocks and
I think
the market
and
everything.
Take any
how does that
one
relate
subject
to football?
And there's a whole business behind it. Like for example, what's going on in LA? I'm sure there's back channel stuff going on and
yeah, but not stuff that you need to be 24/7.
No,
yeah.
but you add all these stuff up. The you know, situation in Minnesota.
When's that hearing for the LA thing? Oh, right. March 7th. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know,
I don't think it's a 24/7.
He has
thing.
A staff.
He does have a staff, but yeah, and that's
of lawyers, of PR staff, of lobbyists, of whatever they need.
But there's tons of stuff that we don't even have a clue about that he's dealing with.
I'll deal with it.
Okay. Oh, I would too. You know, I'll take.
But
it
I think
on.
I'd deal with it, and I still think I'd have a life. Yeah. I'd still go see the movie on Saturday.
I'm not sure about that.
I think I would.
I think you sacrifice a lot for any job. Well, any CEO does.
Well, I think that's up to
the
CEO.
I think some a lot more than him.
Yeah, but I think that's also up to the person, the individual's management style. Yeah. If you're the type of manager who trusts the people that he's hired and delegates them to do certain things, you can be the guy who says, I'm spending time with my family this weekend.
But it's also
if
a real emergency.
Calls, he doesn't want to speak to that guy that you delegated.
But that's a
no,
real
and
emergency.
That's fine. And he has my cell number. All 32 have my cell number.
That's right. 32 of them have
they
your cell phone.
They can call me at any time. But that doesn't mean they do.
And there are some people who are just workaholics who don't have, they really don't have any life. And that's all they want to do is
but
work.
He's not a public corporation.
And I feel
there's
bad
no
for those
stock
people.
Price that's rising and falling. There's no supply problems with the factory in China because the latest chip isn't on time. And there's none of that. He knows when the season starts. It's the Thursday after Labor Day or whatever the hell it is. He knows when the draft is. There's no supply chain problems.
We might be guilty.
You're not going to run out of players because there was a flood in Bangkok.
Right.
We might be guilty of underselling
in
it
Bangkok
a little bit,
flood.
But to me, it's not the same as a real business.
Most
I understand
Bangkok.
That they, you know, it's a lot of money that we're dealing. It's a billion-dollar industry, but I don't think it's the same as, you know, like what the individual owners have to deal with for their own franchises and with their advertising and their overseas stuff and their other business
There's
interests.
There's
because
nothing.
all the owners in the NFL have other business interests,
right?
Other than their football
True.
Teams. There's a lot more on Robert Kraft's plate to me than there is on Roger Goodell.
Yeah, right,
certainly.
There's no research and development. It's not like Apple, where if you don't bang out the next iPhone, you're going to lose, you know, 20% market share. Are you going to lose 20% NFL? Like you can't lose. Yes, you're developing new helmets. Yes, you're dealing with rules in the March rule. But none of that happens on a Saturday night in the, you know, out of the blue.
And even the stuff that goes on a global level for the NFL, with stuff like that, apps and things like that. I mean, they have, I mean, NFL.com, that's a, that's an entity. That's Roger Goodell isn't necessarily, you know, hands on.
Might want to, but.
No, well, he,
maybe
he,
if he did.
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe, well, that's another argument in and of itself. But to me, I think that, you know, like Robert and Jonathan Kraft would be much more involved in that stuff for their own team because they need to see the numbers. They need to do the research. I don't think Goodell is signing off on stuff that NFL.com is doing.
Speaking of Jonathan, well, how come he doesn't do Shark Tank? We know he's interested in that kind of stuff, and Tish is doing it, so I guess there's like an open. He would be good at it.
He would be.
Can you imagine him chewing somebody out on live TV? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think he'd be really good at it because he has a lot of interests, right? Pretty diverse.
Yeah.
Investing interests.
Yeah.
I think he should do that.
That would be good.
And that'd be good for the Patriot brand and profile. And
great. It'd be great.
Imagine the first time he got all upset.
That'd be good, though.
On TV, he'd start yelling at Cuban.
That's good TV.
He'd come back, Fred, we just invested in a new kind of peanut butter. I need you to, you know, do a website.
Do a website.
I think he should do it. I was talking to some people upstairs that agreed. Like,
yeah.
That'd be cool.
It'd be excellent.
And for the brand and everything.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's check the phones. Eddie standing by in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Eddie? Doing?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm just so tired of this tight end talk. What's going on?
You're tired of the tight end talk.
You don't want a tight end?
No, I mean, guys, we have a defense that the past couple of years, one guy goes down and the rest of the defense just goes to hell.
It's like that Christmas tree song. One light goes out, the whole damn thing goes out.
Even though I agree with Eddie, you could make the same argument for offense. Gronkowski goes down and the whole thing goes to hell.
At least the offense, one guy goes down. You
and
have
it sucks.
Tom Brady, who it somewhat stays afloat. It's still better than half of the offenses in the NFL. The defense, though, it starts off sucky.
Well,
you had a good run with a couple games this year, and then all of a sudden, the defense is fine?
Well, Eddie, we're with you. The only one that's against you is Andy. He thinks that tight end, they get a tight end, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I just disagree with the fact that when Brady's out there without Gronk, that it looks fine.
Because I
think it looks like
he's
throwing just to Julian Edelman, and then he throws to Slater and Mulligan and Hooman and all these Jags, and you don't score any points, and you lose.
Well, so then that could be an addition of a wide receiver that would help as well as a tight end.
Yeah, man.
Right, but they have no tight ends. They have some receivers. You can say they screwed up investing $30 million in Danny Amendola or whatever they did. They don't have a tight end when Gronk's not out there. And you have to plan for beginning of the year, Gronk may not be out there. And based on the last few seasons, late in the year, he won't be out there. So you're without a starting tight end.
We could stick with the blueprint talk and say, who's Seattle's tight end?
I don't know, Zach Miller, Zach something? One of those Zachs, right?
A big disappointment, though.
But their whole offense is a disappointment. They win because they have a great defense. Just guess what? We're not one player away from a great defense.
Mm-mm.
We're not two players away from a great defense.
Oh, no.
We're a long ways away from a great defense. So we need to have a good defense and a good offense. And right now, when Gronk's out, you don't have a good offense.
Yeah, that's true. But the problem with the Patriots, they don't even have jag tight ends. They have zero, like, tight ends from the, I don't know where they're from, but they're not even regular tight ends. That's
Paleolithic age.
Just get a couple regular tight ends. I think they'll be okay.
But Paleolithic?
Get some talent on that defense. I keep stressing the defense has been the problem for the past decade.
Yes, they should take a safety in the second round. That'll fix. Oh, wait.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe spend some money on free agency, but they're not going to do that either. I did have a legacy question for you guys, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If status quo happens as if we all know status quo is going to happen with this team. They're going to win 10, 12 games again the next couple of years, you know, that Brady has at least. What do you think is going to, what are we going to say about this, Bill Belichick legacy when they, the next 2 years, they get knocked off in the playoffs again because of the same reasons that, the same problems they've had over the past 5 years, basically. What are we going to say about the greatness of Bill Belichick?
I think we're going to say one of the greatest coaches ever, medium personnel guy.
Well, but still oversaw one of the greatest runs ever for any team.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what if we get knocked out again in the AFC title game? Well, what if?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. You'll still have another AFC title right. game under your belt. You're and when still... you look back on it and say 14 years, right. five Super Bowls,
Ten, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, right. it still stacks
still
up
great.
Impressively.
Right.
A lot of other coaches have petered out a lot worse than that
yeah.
and a lot quicker than that.
Okay. I was thinking something different, but okay.
But what else can you say?
But you're right. No. You're right on a microscopic level because you're here and you're now and you see
right.
it. But when you pull back a little bit, I think you're going to say, "Wow, that really was." I wish he hadn't blown on that safety pick in the second round. If he hadn't X, what? But they still won 12 games every year. They still went to an AFC
right.
title game every year.
How many coaches at the end of the day will have gone to 5 Super Bowls? Maybe 9 or 10 AFC championships. How many coaches will have been able to do that?
Now, part of that is Bill himself, because he hasn't left. He hasn't retired. He hasn't wanted to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, if Tony Dungy had stayed or if Bill Cowher had stayed, you would, you know, Bill Cowher, I mean, how many does Tomlin have? One or he has one, right? They both have one.
Tomlin has been one to two when he.
Yeah,
no.
Tomlin's
so
one and one.
He could have
one
had one. Two yeah, Super Bowls. You know, tell me he couldn't have led the Tomlin team to a Super Bowl. So. Part of it is Bill's just decision to stay is making him greater than a Dungy could have been or a Cowher could have been, right? I mean, that's part of it, his own decision.
Yeah, yeah. But longevity in the NFL as a head coach, that's something to talk about, too.
No, but Dungy and Cowher weren't forced out. They chose to leave.
I understand.
And a lot of guys choose to leave. They get burnt out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Schottenheimer, Vermeil, any of these guys. Right, and then, like, Schottenheimer says, it's my one regret was burning out and quitting. But Bill hasn't done that. He hasn't burnt out, whatever. You know, he's not wired the same way, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's part of...
It's a hard job.
It is a hard job.
It might be harder than being commissioner.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any might be about it.
Yeah. It's 200 million times harder.
Yeah.
Commissioner doesn't have to do anything.
For almost $200 million less.
Yeah. You make a lot less money. You do work 24 hours a day for about 10 months a year. And you have a lot riding on it.
Right.
No one knows if the commissioner screws up because he couldn't do anything that would be that colossal.
I don't want to get back to that. But anyway.
Well, then why'd you bring it back to that?
It was just a quip.
It's just a fun fact.
It was a quip.
I just feel like the second half of his tenure in New England is kind of clouding the first. That greatness that we thought was there in the first, I think he's a great coach, I know, but there's just something about the things that he's done in the second half that just...
Okay, let me put it this.
I understand what you're saying.
I think
you got to be a little bit more. I think if it were reversed,
right? I was just going to say
you'd look at him a lot different. You
or
look
spread
at him like,
out.
It'd be Peyton Manning,
okay.
right?
Because Peyton Manning was the colossal choker and just couldn't do it, and then he finally won one.
Right.
Whereas if you win one early, you can do anything after that. And you're,
who's
you're,
the best coach
impervious.
In the NFL the last 3 years?
I think Bill, but I think I
who
think,
else is in the conversation?
I think you could take the two brothers.
Yeah,
you know,
you take the Harbaugh. Yeah,
one of whom has the exact same thing as Bill, right?
Right.
3 straight title games, lost 2 of them, lost the Super Bowl he went to.
Quarterback.
Right.
What's that?
Doesn't have the quarterback. That's the only problem.
Well, they think
sure
they do.
He does. Yeah.
They think they do, and his job gets infinitely harder when he starts paying the quarterback like a real quarterback. When he starts paying him $18 million or $17 or $20 million, everything else gets harder because you can't just fill in with these, you know, $5 million free agents. Same thing with Pete in Seattle.
Right.
And Harbaugh, I mean, yeah, he's the greatest, right? I'm John. He's great, except he didn't go to the playoffs this year. He's petering out because he let Anquan Boldin go. Right?
Wow.
You know,
That's worse than even me.
Another really
first time he didn't make the playoffs, he goes 8-8. He's petering out.
Well, Eddie's making the argument that Belichick's petering out because he lost an AFC title game.
Yeah, I think that's silly, but I think we
so
all agree.
So my point is,
all
these great coaches, he ranks up well with whoever you think over the short span. He hasn't won a Super Bowl in 3 years, 4 years. So you're not being clouded by one immense victory. If you tell me who the best are right now, he's among those best for the short haul. And then if you include a decade, well, he's obviously among the best because he's got those 3 rings.
Right.
Yeah.
He's among the best. No matter how you boil it down, he's among the best.
Yeah.
No, you're trying to run him out of town, Eddie. Between you and Paul, Belichick's gone. Brady's gone.
I'm not running Belichick out of town.
No, you're running Brady out of town. If you, 2 of you get your way, we'll stink, like Barkley said.
I'll be okay with that. I'm ready to move on.
Well, that's happening. I mean, that's
wait, did you say you're ready to move on from Belichick?
I am. I just don't think he's going to change. He's not going to change, guys.
So if he doesn't change, you go to the AFC title game every year.
I mean, this is fascinating. What
so
exactly? Wait a minute. What exactly?
Year, they have less injuries and they win it all.
But what exactly do you want him to
don't.
Change?
They go to the AFC title game.
Right.
I'll take it.
Do you think this is a great team?
I, No, no, of course not. No, no. They're
so what exactly do you want him to change? I think he's getting so much out of his team every year.
Well, he's talking about from a personnel
standpoint. He doesn't believe in the pass rusher. He doesn't believe in the cover corner. He doesn't want to pay these guys. He just thinks that he can coach.
Well, I think you're putting some stuff on Belichick that doesn't deserve to be on him.
All right. Now we get your point, Eddie. Thanks for the call. I mean, I think he believes in a pass rusher, and I think he believes in a cover corner. I think it's really hard to find those guys that are worth the money that they're paid for. And I think, you know,
that worth thing is the problem.
He also may see things that he thinks are going to work in his system that we don't see,
right?
Or that maybe some of his other scouts or personnel people don't see, but he thinks he sees something, so he's taking the guy that he thinks is going to work.
And he is wrong sometimes.
And look, not everything works out for them. Like, what their plan is going into the offseason doesn't always work, you know, because there's 31 other teams trying to do the same thing you are, and sometimes the stuff they do gets in your way of doing what you want to do. So it's, you know,
it does always work out.
You know, it's like that whole
Paul's
thing.
Right. It's like chutes and ladders. They take a weird way. They skip a couple. They fall down a couple. But in the end, they get to the candy forest.
You know, no plan survives encounter with the enemy. Well, there's 31 other enemies. So you can have the best plan and you'll want, but
I don't think their plan is
things
failed.
Things that they do screw up your plan. So you have to be fluid and flexible. And
no, I think they screw up their own plan.
Sometimes, but not
all
the time.
I think they very rarely get outsmarted or beat.
I think they got outsmarted. You know, I sound like a beating a dead horse here, but Emmanuel Sanders, I think they got outsmarted.
That was them. That had nothing to do with anyone other than them being cheap.
Exactly. I think that they didn't go long.
Them. The Steelers didn't do anything.
Oh, Jesus Christ, will you let me finish?
But you're not making any sense.
I think they outsmarted themselves by thinking that they could.
That word was right, themselves.
Right.
So they didn't get beat by the Steelers. They got beat by themselves. They did. You said the 31 other teams mess up your plan. The battle plan doesn't.
They did not expect the Steelers to match that offer.
That was dumb then.
Was there another team involved there?
No, but they screwed themselves.
Was there another team involved?
No, just themselves. You said it best yourself. Okay. You said they screwed themselves. It was well said.
I like the
rest
of the stuff
you
said. I don't like the example you used with Sanders, because as soon as we saw the restricted offer sheet, what did you say? There's no way that we're getting him.
Well,
everybody was fully in agreement when they saw
the
offer sheet. There's no way Pittsburgh is not going to match that.
And they did not expect the Steelers to match it, and that's what I mean by you have a plan. It did not survive encounter with the enemy.
I just think you screwed yourself. You didn't.
I just don't think that's a good example of what
you're talking about.
However it is. I think if you have a plan to do something in the draft and your guy goes two picks before you're picking, then the enemy affects your plan.
That's another example.
The Emmanuel Sanders thing, to me, there's no way you could have possibly expected to get him with that offer. But
if you trade down,
they had a 0% chance of getting him when you offered him a 1-year deal for low money.
If you trade down, that's your plan. Only you screw that up. No one else can screw that up for you.
Well, of course there's examples of things that you do.
But I just don't. I think they are the best, and when they lose, it's because they outthink themselves or screw themselves.
Right. Well,
or they're not willing to go an extra 50 cents on the dollar.
But there's some things where you outthink yourself where there isn't another team involved. You know, in the case of Sanders, there was another team involved, and they, you know, whatever they did, they underestimated what the Steelers were willing to do.
I guess I'm just giving them more credit than you. I think they, basically, when they screw up, a lot of times it's a self-inflicted wound that they could have done something about that. No one else did anything to them. They did it themselves.
They're not the Keystone Cops. I mean, obviously what they're doing works overall.
But I don't feel like anybody, we got the better of them in this one. I don't think that happens very often, if at all, where another one of the 31 teams in personnel and games sneak up on them and get them, catch them napping and say, we got Belichick on that one. I think a lot of time it's a bed that's made by Bill.
Well, sure, but, I mean, for example, we could say the opposite, like where we got the better of them when you talk about Shiano and Tlaib and you know, the trade for Blunt. You know, we got the better of them. So if you're Tampa Bay, you're like, oh, we screwed up. You know, so it works both ways, but the Patriots aren't perfect. Overall, they make the right moves most of the time, which is reflected in their success over these years.
Like, even losing Welker, I think they executed their plan. They were right. The market was a low number, and it just, I don't think anybody screwed with them. I don't think anybody took Welker from them.
No, that's an example of, you know, Amendola just didn't, he got hurt, you know? And he,
again, another example. Yeah. I think they screwed themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think they were outbidding anyone, anybody for Amendola.
But what I'm saying is that, all I'm saying at the outset is that it's hard. I mean, you have the right intentions, but sometimes there's things that you don't control that affect your plan and make you having, you know, go back to square one or scramble. It's tough. Things happen within your team, like injuries. You have no control over that.
Right.
You know, and it affects success. You
Correct.
Know, it's like that flood in Thailand that affects your stock prices.
Right.
Those are the things that, you know.
That Goodell doesn't have to worry about.
No, back but, to that again.
He sleeps on his million-dollar pillow.
But teams have things to worry about that they didn't think was going to happen at the beginning of the year.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Especially like murders and stuff.
Well, yeah.
That's that was one. The flood in Thailand.
That's one. That's the flood in Thailand.
It was the right? blood in Attleboro.
Dan in Virginia on the A-Stick and Hotline. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Dan.
It's warm?
Yeah, it's warming up. We're turning the corner. I feel it.
Nice. Andy's seen his shadow, and he's predicting not six more weeks of winter.
Nah.
My shadow's big.
Especially shadow off that head.
It's an eclipse.
First off, I just want to wish you guys happy 20th anniversary for the 20 years of PFW.
Thank you.
That goes to Fred, the only one of us that's been around for those 20 years.
He's about to burst.
Well, we look forward to another 20 years of
no chance.
CFW and the radio show too.
No chance.
Yeah, I'm not ruining it out. But go ahead.
I've got a couple of questions. Following on from your discussion last week about Edelman and versus Amendola, as much as I love Edelman, I agree with Andy and Paul that you know, he may not be back. And that may actually not be such a bad thing. It may not leave a gaping hole as, you know, Amendola might be able to take over from Edelman as Edelman kind of took over from Welker. But in that whole mix, there's been a lot of discussion about getting Sanders from Pittsburgh. But isn't Sanders just another slot receiver ultimately? And are we just going to run the whole offense through the slot now? I mean, we really...
I think his game is a little bit more varied than just being a slot receiver.
And even as a slot receiver, he's a bit more of a playmaker than they have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. But
yeah,
I mean,
he's more outside than slot.
That's the thing with Edelman and Amendola too, aren't they? Aren't they supposed to be a little more than? They're supposed to have a little bit more than. They're not just
well,
straight
yeah.
slot guys.
Amendola
well,
certainly they.
Amendola was yeah. He yeah. was sold to us as that, but I haven't seen it. And Edelman is a slot guy. I mean, I know he played how many percentage?
51, he
51%.
Said. Yeah. not an outside
he
guy.
He just snuck by the 50-50 mark.
But sort of on the offense in general, I know that, you know, Bill always structures his defense week to week to beat an opponent's particular strengths. Is the offense, do they utilize the offense the same way in that they design it week to week to take advantage of a defense's weaknesses? Or is it just they go out there, they do what they do, and hopefully that's enough to beat the other team. I mean, I know Brady studies a lot of game film and all that stuff, but do they rework the offense?
Well, they certainly look for matchups, and they want to exploit matchups, but I would say less than the defense, probably.
I disagree with that.
When they're at full strength.
I disagree with that.
It every week.
I think they're a game plan
well,
team.
They
fully.
Don't rework it. It's
right.
stuff they've done, and it's different ways to do it,
yeah.
whether it's out of the no huddle, whether it's out of the yeah. gun, whether yeah. it's out of its formations, personnel.
Sure.
But I think they do it a lot.
They're better offensively than defensively, so it doesn't look that much different from week to week. But they totally game plan.
Because
every week.
More often, lining up and doing what we do, we might be able to do against seven teams. Whereas defensively, lining up and doing what we do, first of all, what do we do? I don't know. And we can't match up with as many teams as our offense can with defenses.
Right.
So there is more variables on defense. But I think they target it the same every week and say, can we use our strength to beat
sure.
their weakness, or do we need to
right.
tweak this or change that?
Do we need to, you know, have Edelman out there instead of Welker because we're going to run the ball?
Do we need to use...
Good example,
Fred. The whiteboards? Do we need to use the whiteboards?
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a good
example.
I know
I ask this every time. Is it white or wipe?
I go white.
White. White. Well, they were calling them grease boards.
Yeah, but I would call them a white
board. That was an example of outthinking themselves.
Yes, you're right. That was.
Also, of course, they need to configure in which of their star playmakers is out this week with an injury, and therefore restructure the entire offense.
Next year, they are due.
Tight end focus to an offense, to a running offense, and that sort of thing.
Next year, they're due. It's going to be a perfect year. Last year was the down in the dumps year. Next year's the perfect year. Everybody's healthy, no murders, none of that stuff. Perfect year.
Okay. I like it. Thanks, Dan.
Perfect? You mean they're going to win the Super Bowl?
No. I mean, like,
Chris with
a TIAN.
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I had a quick question about scouting players.
Oh, 1 through 14 inclusive.
And you guys have been at this, you know, for a while now, and you've seen the league change over the years, and you've gone to a bunch of these combines. Is it harder to scout players and where they fit into, like, the system that the Patriots have now, considering how the game has changed?
A lot of GMs would say yes, because there's so many juniors coming out now that only literally had 1 year of playing in college that you have to project a lot more than you used to. They are starting to complain about that.
I would argue no.
That is the record number this year, right?
But that's not just Patriots. That's every team.
It's gone up like 25 each. It was like 50 to 75 to 100 the last 3 years of underclassmen. I would argue no, because I think for the Patriots in particular, a lot of the stuff they do, more of the stuff they do, is now what colleges do. You know, we're not in that heavy 3-4 anymore where you're really, oh, there's only four teams in the country that run 3-4 in college, and you got to find these linebackers, and he's a defensive end, and blah, blah, blah. And offensively, for all teams, they used to lament, oh, we got all these move tight ends that, you know, they're really wide receivers. Yeah. Well, all they've done is continue to play them as wide receivers. That's why we get into the Jimmy Graham problem of, is he a wide receiver? In the old days, they tried to project him as an inline tight end and all this crap. I think they're doing less projecting now and just saying he's going to do what he does in college for me in the pros. So it's easier to see step by step. Now, there's still differences. Like Bill always the college passing game is bubble screens and go patterns. Like there's limited route trees, and there's still a lot of that. But I actually think it's a little easier now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just curious because everybody talks about it going to more of a passing league, and, you know, you need more defensive players. But I think when, you know, the Patriots did switch, like you said, to that 4-3, they weren't looking for that Willie McGinnis type anymore. Not that you're not looking for it all the time, but, you know, they weren't, you know, they have to have that sort of pigeonhole position for on defense. And I think it was Eddie that called first.
Yeah.
The guy who's sick of Belichick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Belichick values a pass rusher, considering he called Lawrence Taylor, like, basically the greatest player he's ever coached.
Right.
So I realize that I'm more positive that he thinks.
Well,
that,
you know, but that's interesting you bring that up, Christian. Is Belichick spoiled because of that? I mean, that's his bar now.
Greatest player of all time.
Right, that's the bar, and that's like, so that's what he.
But I think
you used the word spoiled. I want to say perhaps overrated.
Who, Lawrence Taylor?
No,
Belichick.
Belichick.
No. I'm talking about his vision of a pass rusher. That's his vision, is Lawrence Taylor.
Bill, if you're listening, I'm joking. I'm smiling as I say that. I'm kidding.
So you had
that guy, and now you're
forever chasing that guy again, and you're never going to get him.
But I would even argue more recently, I think he was spoiled by, like, McGinnis and Vrabel. That could do a lot of that.
That was kind of my overrated point.
Wow. But I mean, like, I think Vrabel wasn't an elite Lawrence Taylor, but he could do a lot of stuff really well.
And he was smart.
He was really versatile.
And he was smart.
And I think now you try to find these guys, and, wow, there's not a lot of those around that can do all that stuff. And now maybe I do have to pigeonhole myself with a pass rusher and do some different things and blah, blah, blah. So I do think he's been spoiled to some degree with some of the guys he's had.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, that happens to a lot of people, I think. I think coaches have egos, and I can find a guy that can fill that role. You go collect your $100 million somewhere else, and then they try to fill it, and they go, oh, boy, that guy was pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Hey,
hold on 1 second, Christian. Not related to anything that we're talking about, but
I guess
Tony Gonzalez is in at CBS for the pregame show. Dan Marino and Shannon Sharp out.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's big news.
When contacted, Shannon Sharp said,
he's so good he can fill two guys' shoes?
And Dan Marino said,
is that a drug joke? I thought you were going to go with a mistress joke. Didn't he have the whole thing?
Yeah, he did.
And reason number 999, why we love you guys.
All right, Christian.
That doesn't mean he won't come back.
He didn't say all right.
No.
Remember Dion was on CBS that year, and he was like, did he come back to the Ravens? Did he come back, or did he talk about coming back?
don't know.
I think he was doing TV when he came back.
Yeah, when he went to the Ravens.
Gonzalez
right?
could come back off the TV booth and
right.
whatever.
It could be like 1 week he's there and then the next week he's gone.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder, now, will he cover the preseason for them or does he only start for the regular season?
He comes in week seven.
But I do think particularly, you know.
Particularly.
It's not like they got a one-for-one thing like, oh, Shannon Sharpe's gone and they're replacing him with Tony Gonzalez. That was a move that sounded like they were going to make regardless of Gonzalez. Like they were going to get rid of Marino and Sharpe.
Oh, really?
They wanted to clear out? You mean
it sounded to me like.
I didn't read the story about it, but I agree with Fred. I mean, I think that. You get the opportunity to get Gonzalez and you take him, but it seems to me they wanted to make a move
right.
with their current
well,
roster.
Gonzalez
anyway.
Is a pretty impressive guy.
Yeah, like, I think he's.
I don't know how he's going to analyze games and stuff.
Yeah. You never know what they're going to say. He's an articulate guy. You never know what he's going to say. He might say nothing.
I would say
especially
that
especially if he
there's
wants
probably
to come back.
Another guy that they're going to bring in, too. I would. That wouldn't be the end of their moves.
Who knows? Maybe they put somebody they have on the desk.
You know, whatever
that's
you want to say.
That's a bad say,
show.
I've never seen it,
Sharpe
really.
And Marino,
I never watched.
If you may not like them, but. They're seasoned, at least they're comfortable on the desk, and they have their takes every once in a while. You can't expect a first-year guy to come in with the hot takes
See,
right
I
away.
Think, I think they should always have a reporter on the desk. Oh, Jason Lockenfora, yeah. Adam Schefter, because these guys, they go off on these trains of cliche or whatever, and I think sometimes you need a reporter who goes, well, that's not really the facts.
Well, the reporters are the ones that set them up with the stories, and then they kind of just go off. On
right.
The, yeah.
But I need the reporter to rein it in. I think sometimes these shows get in trouble because you have Sapp and Marshall Faulk and these guys just like – and sometimes the facts get lost in like the bluster of ex-players.
See, ESPN is the best in terms of the pregame shows, I think. I turn to CBS.
I agree with that.
I turn to CBS, you know, at times because it's AFC and there might be a story that has to do with the Patriots or a team that the Patriots are playing. So, but I never watch Fox. I never watch.
See,
Fox.
See, Fox is much better than CBS.
It might be, but I just
you
never
got Howie.
Watch it.
I mean, CBS, I'm with you. I like ESPN.
So. I like ESPN, and that's
the
one.
Best.
You know, we never get to watch them, but when we do, you know, I don't watch much. But when I do, it's that's the show I think that is the best. It is kind of like the tallest, you know, little person. I don't want to be politically incorrect because I don't think any of them.
You
are
think
really
the bar's low?
I don't think any of them are very good.
Is
but
that a midget joke.
ESPN is I think the best. The NBC one is good. I think the Fox one is good. CBS is terrible.
Well, plus
it's
doesn't
flat
CBS have that other one that they call the other one or something on CBS
Sports
Network?
Network? I've never seen that.
So they could promote somebody from that. Maybe they think
right.
somebody who was on that.
Right.
I think Bart Scott was on that. And
if I had known that he was on, right? He's a guy that could say something silly.
Well, I think it goes.
Might be worth watching.
It competes with like. With ESPN. You know how ESPN's is longer and CBS starts at noon
right.
or whatever? I think this one goes 10 to noon or something and then carries
well,
over.
Well, then the NFL one starts at like 3 in the morning.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, Rich Eisen is there killing time at 3 in the morning.
And they have the clock, right. you know, countdown
right.
to kickoff. It's like
first
4
look,
days, 3 hours.
First look, it's a pitch black stadium. You can't see
it. With Mike Reese in the background.
The Thursday night. The Thursday night pregame show starts on Tuesday.
View from my hotel room. All right, webradio at patriots.com.
View from the cab on the way to the airport to get to the...
508-298-0098.
Kurt Warner would be a guy they could
promote. The Ace-Ticket hotline.
I like Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner's pretty good.
I think
he's pretty good at NFL Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be the one guy I can think of on that network that one of the others might want to poach, because I think he's pretty good.
But thanks for that, Paul. That's,
just happened
to
see it on the Twitter.
That's pretty big news. I mean, Marino's been there for a long time now.
Yeah, nicer
you know?
Toners.
So...
Never want to ring there either.
That's big news in the media industry.
I love it.
You have your first assignment, or maybe if you want to accept it.
Paul, you writing these down? You got your pen? You got the notebook?
No, I'm just looking at the Olympic hockey results right now.
Mike in Rhode Island.
I missed that game tomorrow.
If you want an assignment for the combine, how about getting a few words from quarterback A.J. McCarron? I think if he falls to the third round, the Patriots could pick him up. I've heard he has a similar style to Brady and could fit the scheme well after Brady goes. Okay?
Okay.
Duly noted.
Would you have spoken to A.J. McCarron?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody who plays for Nick Saban, we speak with.
Well, plus, you know.
It's called layup. Notebook layup.
But well-known quarterbacks. There's not a ton of quarterbacks. The more well-known guys we're probably going to be privy to.
Especially
you know,
with overrated
of.
Girlfriends. Jesus. I mean, Blake Bortles has passed him up.
Well, that's ridiculous. That I mean, that's ridiculous. But to call that Catherine Webb girl
overrated
is ridiculous.
Rated.
That's worse than you saying that the Lego movie was not good.
I didn't say it was not good. See, you don't listen.
Ridiculous.
This is what you do.
Ridiculous.
You don't listen. I said it didn't live up to the hype. Didn't say it was not good.
By the way, I finished House of Cards. Unbelievable. Really good.
No one cares.
People want to know about the Lego movie, not House of Cards.
More people have seen the Lego movie than House of Cards.
You don't know from House of Cards.
Lego movie was so good yesterday, I got stuck sitting in the first row, which I've never done, and still enjoyed it.
Still enjoyed it.
Is your neck hurt?
Wow.
No, I was off to the side. I strategically, instead of going in the middle, so you're just having to look straight up, I went to the side, so I sort of leaned my head almost like I was laying on the couch.
A little gangster lean.
Yeah.
And you really liked it. Too.
Oh, it was really good. Okay. Really clever. Okay. The guy who wrote it, I don't know what's going on up there. That guy's out there.
Oh, yeah.
But it was
some drugs involved.
It was funny. It was very funny. Right.
Pat from
Come
Avalon.
Come on, you haven't been singing that Everything is Awesome song ever
since.
Yeah,
but just because something's catchy doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, see, so you said it wasn't good. You don't think it's good.
You
so,
don't
I didn't
like
miss, so I didn't miss. I didn't
no,
mischaracterize you.
Yeah, see, you just tricked me. I said it was overrated. It didn't live up to the hype.
And you just said it wasn't good.
You're not good. Why don't you go back to your very, very good drafts of Bill Belichick?
I'm sorry.
Where we take
there has to be somebody
round.
On this show that gives Belichick credit for the dynasty that he's
well,
created.
Well, certainly not Fred. He thinks he's getting blindsided by other teams left and right. I think every time
that's
we screw something
said.
Up, it's self-imposed. We don't lose to anybody. We beat ourselves, and that's it.
We just take turns saying, yeah, that's not what I said. Right. No, yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
Yeah. Fred's going to be outsmarted by Jeff Ireland week to week.
This guy, can you get mad at him again like you did a little while ago when me and Eric took the last half of the Czech Republic Slovakia?
Just turn his mic off. Just turn the mic off. Pat and Agawam, I just wanted to
Plus
throw
crazy
out.
A, scored a beautiful goal. Yeah.
I just wanted to throw out a couple names at tight end to keep an eye out, seeing how I don't think the Patriots will get a chance to draft Ebron or Amaro. A.C. Leonard.
Hey. AC
Leonard, who is supposedly a pass catching tight end out of Tennessee.
You got him, Paul?
Tennessee State, and a local boy.
No.
And Rob Blanchflower out of UMass, who was a standout on a pretty horrendous team.
Yeah, we will be obviously looking at tight ends, too. So those are good. Well, I don't know if any of them have groin problems. I'll look at those as well.
Fred, if you and Mike saying if the Patriots draft anybody from UMass, the worst football team in the country, that'll be my letter of resignation.
Really?
Oh, but, God, please.
Does an undrafted free agent count?
No.
He did say
it. It'll waste a pick.
You know, that's why I was looking for a
I'll be looking for Bill at the
clarification.
Like, Bill, can you do me a big favor? Last pick of the draft. Go UMass, please.
He took the kid. What was the kid's name from William Penn? Stokes.
Don't worry. Yeah. I was planning to take him in the first round.
One-eyed Andy
Bill
Stokes.
Penn, tight end.
Was that him?
Right?
Andy Stokes.
Tight end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Bill Penn,
yep.
As he called it.
Toby from New York. Regarding Amendola, I like most Patriots fans, would much rather have Edelman, who's both cheaper and more productive. Do you think we could convince a team to take him off our hands? I would take anything from a fifth-round pick to a shoelace. Four teams off the top of my head that could desperately are desperate enough to do it would be the Bills, Jets, Browns, or Raiders. What do you guys think? You'd still get hit with some money, though.
For who?
For Amendola.
Yeah, I think that's
$10 million is the on the hook.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the detriment to the deterrent, I should say,
right.
to trading him.
You can't get rid of him yet.
I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that would trade for him, but I'm not sure the Patriots they would have to get a lot in return.
But see,
actually, the $2 million that's guaranteed salary. How does that work in a trade? Does that go with the team or does that stay? It's not a bonus.
Is it guaranteed?
I don't know.
Well, I think that would depend on when it is.
I think it's salary. It's just guaranteed. Like, even
so
if he gets cut, he gets 200.
Regular paragraph 5 salary, as they say.
Look at this guy throwing out terms.
As they say in the CBA.
What's paragraph 4?
I don't know. No, if it's just regular salary,
How
I think,
many paragraphs
I think
there,
it
Paul?
Would be the responsibility of the acquiring team, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
So
right.
Then it's only $8 million. Because part of that $10
but that's
million
still
everybody
a lot
includes.
It is a lot.
Enough.
Yeah, but the old bad money
Danny
after good thing.
Danny Amendola's not going anywhere.
No,
as
he
a
isn't.
Patriots fan, you should hope that, you know, he was hampered by the injury last year and that he's going to be better and he won't get hurt. Yeah. And if that happens, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. What's fine?
You know, 80 catches, 75 catches, and, you know, 10 or 12 yards per catch.
Oh, now...
That's a big difference between 10 and 12 yards per catch.
If he's going to turn into a 12 yards per catch guy, like 4 yards more than he's ever done before, now I'm in. Now I'm in.
Okay.
I haven't seen the stats. I know it's not true. I know he's been above 8 yards a catch. He just throws those things out there.
I'm in if he averages 12 yards a catch. For a slot receiver, that's a big play slot receiver.
Sure.
I'll take that.
Good.
So we're
that's
good.
Victor Cruz like numbers.
We're going to be fine.
How do you know he's A, going to stay healthy, and B, going to do that?
If he catches if he catches 80 passes
said,
and averages 12 yards a catch,
fan,
I'm in.
That's what you're hoping for, right. Okay?
But is it realistic?
But you're hoping for a meteoric jump is what you're hoping for.
I'm
that's
hoping
like,
he doesn't get hurt. And I think if he doesn't get hurt, and what we saw last year was because he was hurt, I think he will be okay. He'll be fine.
But that's not fine. You're like, fine.
You're still
is,
asking him to do something he's never done.
Fine is he'll average 10 yards a catch.
Okay, I said 10
like,
to
like,
12.
Like but that's a big gap.
Okay, 10, okay? I'm happy with 10.
Stephen Ridley will rush for 1 to 2,000 yards
yeah.
next year.
10 is not a difference maker. 12, you're
well,
Victor Cruz.
1's okay, yeah.
And
2,000
and six
is great.
Touchdowns.
And generally, not 4 to 10.
6 touchdowns.
Yell at him again. That was good. That
so
was
have good you one. Given up on Danny Amendola?
No, to do that? The,
you
the,
have.
The second, to do the second thing? No.
Do you, have you given
can he catch 75, 80 passes, 10 yards a catch, 6 touchdowns? I haven't given up on that.
Okay.
That's you, that's
is
me.
That is, worth, is that okay with you?
No, it's not worth $31 million. No. But I
have
not, I have not
given
up
on the $31
million. I am not given up on that.
No. I've given
he
up
can
on
have
being
a year like
value.
That.
Him being value, I've
he can catch the he can catch the ball. He showed his toughness to me. He can do what you just said. I don't think he's a colossal bust, but I don't think he's going to be worth, you know.
Who has a brighter upside, Danny Amendola or Aaron Dobson?
Aaron Dobson.
Dobson.
But that might be I might be guilty of, you know, the devil I don't know.
Right. Oh, sure.
You know, with Dobson, but I think Dobson has the chance to be.
Good,
you know.
Yeah. But also Amendola has
maybe
played in the league.
Well,
that's
longer.
How I look.
So
you,
that's what I'm saying.
Like
the devil I don't know yeah. is Fred's, Dobson. I know Amendola.
Your thing for Dobson, I think, is far more realistic because I don't know that that's outside his norm. That might be his normal progression as a young receiver. Amendola, you're real close to you are what you are. You're an injury plagued 60 catch, 10 yards a catch, or 8 if you ask Paul type guy.
No, I was exaggerating to make a point.
Mike,
he did his big year. He did average 8.9, I think, a catch. It was in the eights, his biggest year. So the most catches he had was the lowest yards per catch that he had.
Mike in Pensacola,
I don't think so.
I was thinking about our defensive line position and how Vince Wilfork figures into it for 2014. I keep hearing that the team would likely give him a new deal, but I could see him getting cut and drafting a younger, cheaper option at the position early in the draft. I know how much Vince means to the team as a person and teammate, but McGinnis, Seymour, and Vrabel were viewed in high regard as well, and they were either cut or traded going into the last year of their deal. I personally would rather see him cut, as much as that pains me to see him go, and extend McCurdy and Tlaib. I think our chances of hitting on a defensive lineman are higher than drafting a defensive back if you look at our recent draft history.
I would be very surprised if he's cut. I think the restructure is the more likely
I would agree.
Route.
But I won't be stunned.
No.
Yeah, I would.
They dig in. And I know everybody, I saw Mike Reese tried to say, you know, is the same thing that Suggs got, is that sort of on the, well, it's totally different. It's Suggs is coming off a very good year.
And they don't even play the same position.
But even beyond that, one guy is a 400-pounder coming off a torn Achilles. If Suggs had signed it when hurt, okay, now you'd have a comparison when he tore his Achilles, but he's coming off a very good year. Like, there's no comparison there to me.
Suggs had a, you know, for him, you know, like 10 sacks, that's just okay for him. I mean, that's like how good, you know, that's not really the same. I agree with Eric that I would be.
Because he got new money. His wasn't just a traditional, we'll take this $11 million, divvy it out. Like, he got new money. It's a four-year extension with actual new money.
Well, that's why, I mean, if you do the restructure, you have to give Vince new money.
You don't have to.
Well, he only has 1 year in the deal.
Right.
So you got
to. But you can give him an extension.
You
got to
extend
have to have new money. Well, it has to have new money and salaries on paper.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, bonus money. He got actual bonus money.
No. He got a lucrative.
Lucrative?
Restructure.
Lucrative.
But if Vince gets a restructure, he's going to get more money.
Well,
because
he
they can't
not.
Just cut him after 1 year. That's.
Well, they could.
Well. I think that's
you take the $8.5 million. You give him a 2 year extension, so now you're dividing that hit over 3 years, and then you back end to that.
But then you cut him after the first year and
$5 million instead of $8 million.
Right, but that's a lot.
This team has
a lot of dead money.
Dozen dead money. They have guys that
well,
make
at some
4
point you gotta stop the dead money, Andy.
No, you just keep rotating through the dead money, right? You, as long as you only have one of those a year,
Fred, is he right?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the books. I mean, you can manage.
I wanted
it.
You so bad to say, yeah,
if you
he's
say,
right.
If, like, if you say if you only have one of those a year,
yeah.
But, you know,
you plan or whatever.
No, you can always cut a guy. If you want to cut a guy, you can cut a guy. But I don't think that restructuring him and then cutting him after 1 year would be in their best interests. That's all.
But you can't plan on that one. You don't know. Like, you have the Aaron Hernandez or you have a guy that gets hurt. And, you know, and then you get stuck with dead money you didn't know you were going to have.
Yeah, the Aaron Hernandez.
So you always
want to
have a little flexibility.
I'm never going to plan for a murder.
Can we not use that as an example of the things that you can never plan for?
It's unprecedented.
But you have to have flexibility. You don't want to be without that. Zach writes in, not that I begrudge anyone for success, but I am rather surprised the NFL owners okayed Goodell's salary as it is. How hard is it to succeed when you have 32 billionaires who will do and spend anything to make sure you succeed? Granted, the NFL is a $10 billion organization, but this isn't exactly the traditional CEO post.
Yeah, like, I don't know that that's true. I think a lot of CEOs make a lot of ridiculous money. Every time I see those things, it seems ridiculous. And it's just like this. They usually have a salary of like $3 million, and then in bonus and extra compensation of $40
million. Right.
Well, what?
Stock options.
Right, something. Somehow they get boatloads of money.
But what are the bonuses for the NFL?
It's a good question.
Like a CEO, to me, is like what Eric just said, you know, stock options and, you know, that kind of stuff. What is the NFL bonuses?
Goodell had 10 catches for 76 yards.
He had incentives, you know.
No, wait.
No more work stoppages, an extra $18 million. I mean, what is... Not a big fan. You know what? I started off being a huge fan of Goodell, and I really, really turned the corner on him. Really, really went a complete 180 on him.
What was the turning point for you?
I just, some of his inconsistency with his punishments. The 18-game season really rankled me when he continued to tell me that that's what fans wanted.
Right.
When, you know, we were getting bombarded with emails saying to the contrary.
Right.
No, when fans were telling him, right, he was saying, fans want it. Yeah. No,
I saw him here at the hall before a playoff game a couple years ago. I forget which one it was. Maybe Denver, where he spoke in the hall. Yep. And fans got up and said that to him.
Right.
And he was like, well, that runs counter to the information we're getting. No, it doesn't, Roger. Listen,
maybe that's what the bonus was.
We all understand that.
Paid appearances at the hall.
Yeah, we all understand that you're going to do it if you want to do it. But don't try to pass it off as something that this is what people want.
And what has he done that's, like, good?
Like, I liked the fact that he was trying to clean up the image of the players.
Right.
But then I thought it just went too far.
And wasn't that kind of obvious? They were going down a road where something needed to be done. It was sort of like when David Stern did it. They were going down a road. I mean, they were having entourages of, like, Allen Iversons with guns at All-Star games. I mean, I don't think you have to be a genius, a $40 million CEO, to say, we got to change this. This can't happen. Like... Has the public money's dried up, right, for stadiums? Aren't they having a lot of problems with that?
Well,
in a
Minnesota
lot of places?
Got a good chunk. Because
I mean, that's something I would put sort of on his plate, even though it's an ownership issue. I feel like the league is involved enough. If you do that, if you get like San Diego and if you get them all a boatload of public money, I'd say he earned his money. I don't know how he did it. He got $500 million out of Atlanta. But I don't really feel like that's been the case, has it?
Yeah, I mean when. The senators, you know, threaten, oh, we're going to take away your exemption. Goodell's the one that has to deal with that senator.
He's a lobbyist.
Yeah, he is a lobbyist.
Anything.
Yeah. That's
and they really, make a lot of
one
money,
of his
though,
jobs
don't they?
Mm-hmm. Is being don't they a make lobbyist. A
lot of money? Some of them can, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he makes a lot of money because he rubs elbows with people that make a lot of money. I think that's just the role.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I mean, what's his name? The used car salesman from Milwaukee.
Baseball. Bud Selig.
Yeah. He makes the same high 30s, $40 million.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. Now, I would say that those guys have to work a lot harder than the NFL.
I don't think
the other sports...
He doesn't have email.
I don't think the other sports are idiots.
How hard can he
now,
work?
I think it's ridiculous that he makes...
why he works so long. He's got to read every letter.
I think it's ridiculous that he makes $30 million or whatever it is that he makes to run a sports organization.
We're all just jealous. Let's be honest.
Well...
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, do I wish I had that money? No, I don't...
No?
Yeah, but I don't wish I had...
Yeah, no.
I wish I had that money? Yes, but I don't wish that I was the commissioner of the NFL. I mean, this is something that he dreamed about his whole life. He grew up as a kid wanting to be the commissioner of the NFL. No interest. You know, you want to sign me up for the salary? Sure. But
you wouldn't take the job?
I would do it for a year.
I wouldn't want to do it.
I think I'd be a good commissioner.
It's just not something that I would ever want to do.
Oh, I know why.
They gave you
in New York, not in Everett. So, you know.
moved the league office?
If I were the commissioner, I'd move the league office.
The league office would be in the back.
We really wouldn't be working on weekends.
No, at the new casino they're building, put an NFL office in there.
Paul Perilla's first act as commissioner: legalized gambling.
Now, the first act would be to eliminate the injury report.
Eliminate the injury report.
And suddenly, okay. Bill and Paul Perillo see eye to eye.
See? I could come. I'm open-minded.
All right.
Something I've said nobody ever about Paul Perillo.
Dan from Andover, any interest in Brandon Myers as a receiving tight end from the Giants? And for a free agent wide receiver, who would you rather have? Macklin from the Eagles, Sanders from Pittsburgh, LaFell from Panthers, or Cooper from the Eagles?
Macklin.
I think Macklin, too.
I kind of like LaFell,
just
though.
Load up on ACLs.
I mean,
he's ACL, right? Not Achilles.
Yeah.
ACL. I would take Macklin if I knew that he has got a clean bill of health.
It's 2014. ACLs are like hangnails in the old days.
For the guys going to the combine, can you check out
ACL, forearm, back? I mean, he's got more than just the ACL. If he was just coming off an ACL, I wouldn't be as worried.
Can you check out Easley from? He's a defensive end tackle from Florida. I think he could be a J.J. Watt type.
You know, Watt.
Not saying that he's at Watt's level. Play defensive end on rundowns and move inside on passing downs. Easley from Florida.
A defensive end?
Yeah.
He's hardly from Florida.
He's probably going to be an OLB.
Easley?
Hardly.
I don't have much information on these guys as of yet.
That's why we're going to the combine. It's all about collecting. We're in the business of gathering information. Here,
That's our first real experience with most of the players.
From Florida? I got the top 25 on all the positions here, and I'm not seeing an Easley from
Maybe
Florida.
He's a sleeper.
There's a Coney Ealy. That's the kid
that's
from
the
Missouri.
That's the kid from Missouri, the good pass rusher.
Oh, that's yeah, that's the
straight one.
That's one of the four Actually, pass rushers that Missouri has. That's
for all
better
I know,
than
he's
Sam.
Not. I strike that from the record. For all I know, he's not.
Is Clowney going to go number one?
Oh.
He should.
They're easily. He's a D tackle. He said he called him a D end, right?
Well, D end tackle. He said he can play both. Yeah. He's only 6'2", right?
He is 6'2", 285.
And he's a tackle.
But he's a tackle. He's listed as a tackle, yeah.
That would be pretty small to play on the edge.
Yeah.
It's also pretty small to play tackle.
Small, yeah, I was going to say.
285.
But that's, come on, 285? When you get him in the pros? Are you kidding me? That's 320.
He could easily put on 20 pounds.
That's 320.
Cody has some
just
names.
He gets in just the, eats lunch with Paul.
Once he gets in the program.
Cody has some names, but he doesn't have why you should check them out. Remember, part
that
of
was the
assignment.
Rule.
He's
part
supposed to tell us why.
So don't read it. What are the names?
Don't read it.
All right.
Oh, now we're just breaking the rules?
Rashad Hageman out of Minnesota.
No, you got to have reason why.
Yeah.
Oh, is he the big Seymour tackle?
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't really understand what we're going to do with him.
I don't know why people think that that's such a huge priority.
But I also don't know what we're going to do with him. A 6'6 tackle Seymour type. What is he your future nose tackle? Is he your future Seymour? I mean, what is he? What are we doing here?
Yeah, because he, I mean,
because I don't remember Seymour being great at when he was a nose tackle early on.
No.
He was far more dominant when he moved outside.
No. Mm-hmm. That was a disaster.
What are we getting
this
guy for?
He did it because he had to do
it. So what are we getting this guy for?
Just because he's big?
Well, but where does he play?
Yeah.
Now are we going to a 3-4?
A lot of people on the blog.
Anita Explica.
A lot of people on the blog want to go back to the 3-4.
I don't.
Why?
They feel
because we used to be good when we ran a 3-4?
They feel like they can have Kelly and Armstead as ends.
Oh, man.
Armstead. With Will Fork inside.
The guy's never put on a Patriots
helmet allows you to use Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins as outside linebackers with Ninkovich as a depth guy, which strengthens you there. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's what they do.
Yeah, but can Jones do that?
But I will just say this. To me, I think Jones
because you
can
have
do that.
A far more athletic one on the other side. They move around, you know, they go off and all that stuff.
But that's one thing that
no,
Bill
the tight ends off.
Yes,
the line.
Bill is really sold me on the whole nature of the 4-3-3-4 being completely and utterly irrelevant.
It's the technique.
It's the one and the two gap is the biggest issue.
Yeah, if they want to change how they play,
are we shooting
in terms of penetrating and all that stuff? That's different. Yeah. But they don't do that 4-3 or 3-4.
Right.
Now, if they want to change their style, now I'm looking for different players
Shoot
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think it matters a whole lot, you know, if they're 3-4 or 4-3. And I think there's times from play to play that they have different alignments, even now.
Do you know what Duglielmo looks like?
No.
Who?
Duglielmo.
Yeah, I know.
Because we always used to ride the plane with Dante.
I told you he's talking kinda at
short,
the coach's clinic.
He's kind of short, squat, balding with a goatee.
Short, squat, balding, goatee.
He reminded me a little bit of that head coach for the Raiders that came in.
Cable?
Cable. A little bit like him.
Less hair on top.
Has he ever punched anybody?
No.
That you know.
Maybe that lunch lady at Claflin Hall.
This is unacceptable.
Intolerable.
Intolerable.
Brian is in Brighton and on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I didn't hear if you guys got a chance to really get into it too much. And I know it's Combine talk right now, but the Incognito Martin case. And what struck me, and I'm just, was their conversation about checking themselves into mental hospital. Like, it was nothing. Like, don't, hey, by the way, bro, don't ever check yourself into a mental hospital. And then Incognito's like, yeah, I know, tell me about it. And I'm just curious, is it that prevalent, you think, in the NFL that these guys have those kind of mental issues even while being active players?
I don't know.
First, I've heard of it, so
yeah.
I
don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that was one of the things
that
struck me with the
flippancy. Definitely come under those HIPAA rules where if that happens, you can get in real trouble leaking that out.
Right. For example, you know, Armin Armstead, who we've never seen. Some team could cover something up, and he could go to a mental, and we would never know. Right.
Along those lines, Brian, I thought one of the interesting things was, you know, like, is Jonathan Martin going to get suspended for violating the policy on substance abuse? Because he openly talked about drug use.
Well, they all did. They were all Incognito tried to keep Martin from going to Pouncey's house because that's all they do at Pouncey's house.
Yeah, you know, so
just get high.
You know,
yeah. It just seems like
a lot of guys get suspended without failing a test in other sports.
I guess you could the drug things and everything, but I guess I was just more curious. I mean, I thought it played a lot into like Andy's argument. Like, we don't really there's really no discussion of the mixing of the drugs, the alcohol, the banging of the heads. On top of that, everything, it just saying, oh, it's concussions.
Yeah. My guess is, and that's what I was thinking when you were talking about it, is there are a lot of them that seek some sort of help there because of what you just said. You know, Nick Kasher had a pill popping problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how's he dealing with that? How's it affecting his depression, his state? You know, the guys that lead, you know, Ted Johnson, when he was here, talked a lot about having issues post career
and all that. And if your team says get help or you're gone, you're going to get help.
Right. Or you might just want help.
Right.
Because you don't want to, you know, Mike Wright had the issues with concussions in dark rooms. Who knows where he went from here for the next year or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of them because you're right. It's a cocktail of drugs, alcohol, head injuries, machismo, sexuality potentially. We're seeing that with Sam and, you know, these different, if you're ostracized. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a higher percentage in football than other walks of life and careers and different things.
Yeah, I guess to me it just seemed like a red flag that the media kind of glanced over. And to me, if you're serious about the whole concussion issue, then that, like, if guys are having to check themselves into mental hospitals because they're on suicide watch, I mean, that should be something that the NFL should say they're looking into.
But you're making a leap that it's related to head injuries. That's a leap.
I think that they should be saying, don't expect to know these guys' private lives to that level, but at least I know that this league is looking into this. Are these guys really having those kind of mental issues?
I'm sure the league knows. I'm sure not all of them, but a good chunk of them.
But the media doesn't seem to be pressing them on.
Well, and it's
the
private.
Guy committed suicide in front of
the league. Could never say, oh yeah, we have. Well, maybe they could say from an aggregate, we have 12% of our players seek some type of mental health at least once during their career.
What if it's 48%?
That's what I'm wondering, right?
Good point.
The Incognito,
it was 40% of a starting offensive line had checked themselves into a mental institution.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how many times are you just talking to some guy you kind of know and you're like, oh, yo, by the way, don't ever check yourself into a mental hospital.
And you're like, nah, don't worry about it. You've been there, done that.
But also included under that would be just seeking mental health.
Correct.
It could be a psychiatrist. It could be a therapist. You know, a lot of things are covered under their plan. And so they could just do it.
I think there's I was making the leap from just getting therapy to actually being committed in the hospital where they won't let you leave, which is what they were insinuating, that they're at such a level that the hospitals didn't want them to leave because they weren't ready to be released on their own recognizance.
I think you're reading a little bit more into it than there probably is. Incognito's
had problems all his life.
Yeah, I don't know, Brian. I don't know that for sure. I didn't read it as strongly as that, as you did. But that doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong.
All right, let's take a break. It's 1:20. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. The only place to get real Patriots talk anytime.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity. like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. Oh.
All right, back here on PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Got some pizza there for you.
Yeah, I'm on a diet.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll eat it then.
I thought you were on a diet.
I'm losing weight.
Yeah, you are. I need to lose a little.
Yeah?
The marathon? Yeah, I'm at like 213. I gotta drop a little.
What's your ideal weight?
For the marathon, as light as possible.
No, I mean, like,
what do you think? I'm at my best when I'm at about 195.
Yeah.
A ripped 195.
Ripped.
So you got to lose 20 pounds? Well, no, I don't have to. I didn't say I have to be at my best.
A ripped.
I mean, I'm running well right now. I just, you know, the less weight I have to carry for 26 miles, the mm-hmm. easier it'll be.
Yeah.
I had to punch another truck on Saturday.
Why?
A guy hit me.
So you punched the truck?
He hit me with his mirror.
Oh, yeah?
So I punched the truck.
He hit you?
Yeah. There was a person going left, and he tried to pass the person and then realized I was running this way
yeah.
and just kept right on driving. And his mirror hit me in the shoulder and, like, flicked back. So I just wham his back bumper. I mean his back, like, fender on
what
the truck.
He, what did he do?
Nothing. He just kept going. What's he going to do? I would have kicked his ass at that point.
Seeing you. Oh, my God. Is that the Incredible Hulk? Oh, my God. What's wrong with his arms?
It was good, though. I got a little, I was telling Paul, it was like at mile 7, I had to do 10 on Saturday, and it gave me like a little adrenaline rush, and that kind of like fueled me for like the next mile and a half, because I was thinking, well, if he turns around, I'm going to have to fight him or something.
Sean from Petaluma writes in.
So I better run fast to get the hell out of here.
He says,
I knew at that point, I couldn't, I mean, 7 miles in, there's only so much left in the tank at that point.
Sean asks, would you ever take a shot at Jonathan Martin if the Dolphins cut him? It's not every day that a young second rounder is floating out there, and our locker room is strong enough to look past his problems.
Can it look past the fact that he can't play?
We could always kick the tires physically and mentally in camp, then cut him if it won't work. Despite his problems, it seems like he could have a lot of upside in a better situation.
He sucked at Stanford. He sucked in Miami.
Yeah, I don't.
Nothing to do with any of his issues.
I don't. Yeah, he wasn't playing well.
He's not good.
Yeah.
Paul likes to pat me on the back for seeing it a long time ago. He sucked in. There was a year where there was like 5 tackles, right, Paul, I think? And everybody, you know, this guy's getting, and like, he was the one that didn't belong. You'd watch the others and you're like, this guy sucks. There's nothing about him that says good. He's not a left tackle. He's not a right tackle. That's beyond the fact that I have doubts as to whether he's committed to football, wants to play football, all that. I don't think he's good, and it's not worth it. Why would you take a risk on somebody that's not that good?
So that was a Jeff Ireland mistake?
Yeah, he drafted him.
Yeah.
But he wasn't alone. It wasn't a Bill Belichick type, I'm going to take this guy no one's heard of in the second round. This was the guy that some people thought was a first-round talent who slipped in the second round. There's a difference there. Everybody agreed with him. He was a highly rated tackle.
Let's see. Matt writes in. Avid podcast listener here living in Atlanta. It makes my commute to the office enjoyable. So here are my questions. 1, would you sign Edelman to a 4-year, $4.5 million per year with the caveat that the total contract is guaranteed? Do you think Edelman would accept that given the guaranteed money, even though Amendola makes more per year? Is it within market value for both the Patriots and the player? So $4.5 million
$18 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Over the life of the contract.
Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I think he would accept that, but
yeah, I do.
I don't know. I would do that.
I would do that if it weren't guaranteed. If it were more of a traditional contract,
right.
You know, it's 4 years, $18 million, nine's guaranteed. You got a little some wiggle room. You can cut.
Would he do that?
I think he wants to be here.
Yeah.
I think he would. I don't think he's going to get these massive offers. You know, the Patriots aren't out there to offer $31 million, so I don't know who else is going to.
2, would you trade Josh Beckett and Tavon Wilson for a fourth-round pick in this year's draft?
Yes.
Sure.
Would be interested.
Jake Beckett, too.
Who would be interested in such a package?
Wait. Jake Beckett and Tavon Wilson for what?
A fourth-round pick in this year's draft.
My God, yes. Two guys that have not played for a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, no one's going to take that deal.
It's not a good deal on paper, though. A second and a
second
third,
and a third
for a
fourth. Well, that's what I'm sure. That's what the email is going on. You know, yeah, a second and not, a third on a fourth. That's why he's saying it. But
not a second and a third who play.
I don't think there's a team in the league that would trade
Wilson looks
a fourth round pick for those two
I still
guys.
Stand by the fact that he looks pretty good. He's just big. He looks athletic. He just KP, apparently.
And finally, Matt says, I love Safarian Jenkins from Washington as a first-round pick this year. At 6'7", 270 pounds, he's the most complete tight end prospect that fits what the Patriots do with Gronk. He blocks well, has good hands, uses his body well to shield defenders, and has shown good enough speed. I think he has a similar game to Gronk and Tony Gonzalez. He can do all the same things, just not as well, and would be a great substitute complement to Gronk. Why is everyone so caught up in Jason Morrow instead of this guy? Let me ask the question. Given the choice between another Gronk versus another Hernandez, which would you rather have on the 2014 team?
Well, that's easy. It's Gronk.
Gronk, yeah.
But I don't think Jenkins is Gronk necessarily. Gronk is special. His hands are special. I think I've said this to Paul before. I think that's what gets lost most. Everybody looks at the size and the this and the that. I think his hands are what separates him. He has phenomenal. He has receiver hands.
Oh yeah, some of the best.
And then everything
receiver
else
hands
after that is he's huge. He can run after catch. He's
he can
physical
block. Yeah.
He can block. But he has, in my opinion, great hands, mm-hmm. and that's what is up here for everything else. And I don't know enough. I haven't watched enough tape on any of these guys to start assessing
hands. You look at Gronk catch the ball. Rarely does he use his body.
No, he's a hand catcher.
Which is the way you're supposed to catch the football.
Right.
Finger catcher, too. Because Daniel Graham was a hand catcher, but he used the palm instead of the fingers. He did. It was like slap instead of the fingertips.
No, he's
you know, the triangle.
Yeah.
Pinkies.
Hopefully we'll get to see Gronk, you know, achieve his potential in the NFL. Cody writes back.
He's not going to.
No,
because his potential is off the charts. His potential we saw for that 1 year. It's unlikely that he's going to put together a long career with that sort of playmaking, but that's his potential.
Cody writes back, this time with explanation as to why you should check these guys out. The Rashad Hageman, the defensive lineman, he says he's an athletic freak in the middle of the defense. C.J. Feederwerks is a tight end out of Iowa. He's a Gronk-sized player with good hands. Louis Nix.
He's on a lot of the tight end boards, like four or five.
Is he from Iowa?
Iowa, yeah.
Yeah, that makes him interesting.
Yeah.
Because the importance they'll put on the offensive line, and you got Ferentz and
like
Ferentz
Fedorowicz
there
or something like that?
Yeah, Fedorowicz. He wears a fedora.
Louis Nix is
got
a
his
defensive
wits about
lineman from Notre Dame.
I like
why
him.
Why is he Italian? I don't know.
Louis Nix is a massive run stopper like Vince Wilfork.
I like him, but I wouldn't take him in the first round.
Brian Kelly will be here for the coaches' clinic.
Yes,
it's good score for you, Freddie.
Under the radar big play receiver is Jeremy Gallen out of Michigan. He watched a lot of Michigan games, and this guy seems like
not
our
bad
type. Smaller, really quick, plays with a chip.
He's not a bad player. I'd like to get a
5'8",
bigger guy.
183.
I'd like to get a bigger guy that can play outside the numbers, but Gallen can play.
And I was wondering if you'd be willing to take a shot at Colt Liria. Or Lyria?
Don't know anything
tight
about
end
that
out of Oregon with all his red flags. He's a monster
that's
athlete.
That's the guy that got kicked off, right?
The closest possible Hernandez clone. Yeah. He did everything at Oregon.
Well, Amaro's not far off. Jace Amaro from Texas Tech.
A little more white-collar crime.
But that guy, the guy that got kicked off Oregon is the one that Andy's right, that someone called or wrote into the show during the season.
No thanks.
And said we should take him, and like literally the next week he got suspended and kicked off the team.
I don't think you can do that right now with that position, and I think you need a little bit more of a good fit, a guy that's safer.
Well, we said it at the time. I hope what happened with Hernandez doesn't get them skittish. I still want to take chances on guys.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, that's a big chance.
But
the guy got kicked out of Oregon.
Yeah. So did LeGarrette Blount.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Oh, he got suspended from the team.
He got suspended.
Oh, he's suspended.
And he practiced the whole time, and he handled everything the right way, and everybody vouched for him. This guy got kicked the F out of a football factory.
I think there's enough good football players that you don't have to take guys who are already in serious trouble before they even get to the NFL.
Like Jason Morrow. Okay, credit card fraud. That's not going to scare me off. Okay, he got kicked out of a bowl game for throwing a punch. That's not going to scare me off. Kicked off of Oregon. Scared me off.
Who was the guy that got kicked out of Oregon that everyone was saying, boy?
I think Richie Incognito.
No,
he
got kicked out of
that was
too.
Right.
Oh, he went from Nebraska to Oregon.
Lasted a week at Oregon.
But Blount did have a huge issue. He punched a guy in the first game of the season. He got suspended. But Andy's point was he took that, and instead of, you know, everybody's wronging me here,
teachable moment.
He practiced the rest of the season, I believe.
He learned. He did.
And he stayed with the team, even though he knew he couldn't play. And I think he proved to everybody that Fred could spill Coke on his magenta shirt.
Salmon.
I was going to swear,
it's
but I
salmon,
held back.
Paul.
I hope it, I can see him later.
Alex in Providence, what is the highest you're willing to pay per year for Aqib Talib? For me, it's $8 million. That's his first question.
Yeah,
that's
in
not
the
$8 million range.
I would love to do a short-term big money deal for him.
1 year, $50 million.
Not, you mean like two, 3 years?
Wait, you won't tag him, but you want to do a short-term big money?
2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, I don't want to pay him 11 plus million and then only get him
Darrell
for 1 year.
Revis makes 16. His short money, short year-term big money is 16.
Is it cute to leave Darrell Revis now?
No, but he's not all that far. Is he's not half the player he is.
I don't understand.
Six, 16 divided by 2 is 8.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have Revis.
And a lot of those other corners are... No, I just said Revis is better. But $12 million is three-quarters of Revis.
Yeah.
And Carr and those other guys that are making $10
million. Yeah. Yeah, I would... Talib's injuries to me, the hip injury, is the reason why I want it to be short-term. Yeah. That's why I don't want to commit a five-year deal to him like Carr and all the guys that Andy just said. I'm afraid of his injury history, and I'll tell you, I'm not worried.
So what deal would you give him?
I'm not concerned at all about the other stuff that we were all talking about when they traded for him, because if he's acting, I'm fooled.
He hasn't committed a crime in a year.
No, I'm talking about the way he interacts with his teammates. I was much more concerned. There's always a chance that guys that have brushes with the law are going to continue to have brushes with the law. That's always a concern. Fonzie Dennard, I mean, he had two in a year.
That's what they call him.
That's what they all call him.
Is that what we call him?
No, I don't write it in the paper. I write his full name in the paper, but that's what they call him. If I went up to him, I would.
If we go by they, then I can't understand what Aqib Talib calls it. You got KT, Kim, TB, and Bombs.
I'm sure he couldn't pick me out of a lineup, but if I went up and talked to him, I would say, Fonzie, you got a second?
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Speaking of Fonzie Dennard.
Guess I'm not down with him.
I thought we were still talking.
Alex's second question is, I like Alphonso Dennard, and I think he normally does a good job, but in the championship game when Talib got hurt, it seemed like he was getting beaten by everybody. Because of Talib's injury history, a scenario where he is off the field for games at a time seems very possible. How confident are you guys in having Dennard, Arrington, Ryan as our starting corners?
What if we pay Aqib Talib?
Not at all.
Yeah. $750,000 per start.
And you're expecting him to start?
And then we don't start.
I know. And he's a sub every week. Oh. You want to see the bad Talib come out?
Yeah.
What put him in on the second play?
Yeah, that's
oh, you didn't start. It says right here, starters. Nope, sorry,
I'm
Keith.
Sorry. Starters are the guys who start the game, Keith. Sorry.
I'm also rooting for us to draft
$8 million I would give him
Dennard, so I can hear Fred try to bounce back and forth.
Dennard and Dennard.
Dennard.
We're actually related.
Alfonso Dennard. Here we go. What's his Menquizi or whatever? What's his first name?
It's Darquez.
Darquez.
Darquez Dennard.
Dennard.
The third thing that Alex writes in, he says, I read an
article.
You've
never heard them call him Fonzie?
Does Witt call him that?
I don't know what Witt calls him. Would you not call
that
Michael?
That is what we all call
would
him.
You not call Michael Wittner Witt?
We all call him Witt.
I don't think I would. Okay. I don't know him well enough.
All right. That's fair. That's
just like I don't know Dennard well
consistent.
Enough.
I don't know him that well.
I would say Alfonso.
But I have had my conversations about the, shall we say,
I know gay,
different kind of TV shows,
lame television shows
that we watch. And,
sorry, Mike.
You know, like I said, I don't think you could pick me out of a lineup, but they all call him that, either Zoe or Fonzie.
Okay.
So would you call him Queez?
Probably.
Really?
But I never.
Paul
really
is much more.
But
like
I never really talked
with the boys.
But
than
I never really talked to him though. Like maybe once or twice. So I don't know. Like, I've talked to Dennard a lot, even though I don't think that he probably knows me. Like I said, you know, I want to state that clear. I'm going the anti-John Clayton. I had a chance to talk to Tom Brady, along with the 47 other people at the press conference.
On the conference call.
Alex also says, I read an article that was projecting breakout players for next year, and a lot of the production it projected for the rookies was optimistic, to say the least. Knowing that probably only one or two of these stat lines will be accurate next year, rank these from most likely to least likely. And he's got five of them.
Before you give me the numbers, where were these from?
An article.
Okay, but it doesn't say by who?
No.
Okay.
Bleacher Report.
Well, it does. It's Bleacher Report. I don't know who wrote
Fanboy.
It. Could be,
no one does.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
Because I like to, you know, if I credit or more likely discredit somebody, I like to know who I'm ripping.
I don't know the writer. But anyway, the first one is Dobson, 71 receptions, 1,143 yards, 10 touchdowns. Second is Michael Buchanan, 34 tackles, 9 sacks.
I couldn't see that.
Boyce, 38 receptions, 583 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I could see that.
Harmon, 88 tackles, 4 interceptions.
I could see the 88 tackles.
I could see that.
And Collins, 112 tackles, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions.
I could see that.
It's a little high.
Which is least likely, the Buchanan one?
Buchanan is least likely.
What's the most likely?
Boyce, probably.
Boyce, 38 really catches, not, well, not really 583 Boyce, yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, because it's
kind of hard to say that, though. He didn't play. Like, I agree with you because it's a low number, and if you just get out there, but what if he doesn't get out there?
The one I'm highest on.
Or what if
that
he
group,
does get out there, and he does, like, twice as much?
Well, he could.
I think the Dobson one,
I think that's realistic.
I think the
10 touchdowns?
Hopeful, but realistic.
Yeah, I think that
somebody's got to catch him. And if Gronk's injured and doesn't play,
I think the average per catch is a little high too. I mean, 70 catches for 1,143. Yeah.
What's that?
That's 12 yards a catch or
10 to 12.
10 would be 710.
So 20 would be 1,400.
Right. So then somewhere in there. Somewhere in there.
I know nothing more now than I did when we started.
Just 20 would be 1,400.
So then somewhere in between 7.
70
know.
Catches for how many yards was it?
1,143.
1,100 yards, 70 catches. So
we
you're
are the
at...
dumbest four people ever.
It's 1,200 yards.
Yeah, it's almost 12 yards a catch.
Oh, I didn't say that?
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
10 to 12.
We're not making fun of you on this particular one. It was the other one that, you know, 10 to 12.
How's your? Are you still lactating over there? How's your shirt?
Finally, Alex says, what are the chances defensive end Arthur Jones joins his brother on the Patriots next year? The Ravens won't re-sign him, and he's a scheme versatile player who can bring pressure up the middle. Another dumb article I read. I didn't say that. He did. Another dumb article I read said there was an 80% chance we sign him, so it got my attention.
Nah, it's not better than 41%. I could see Bill not signing a brother just because it would be like a thing.
Well, he had the Gronkowskis.
Yeah, but this would be a real signing. That was an emergency signing.
All the more reason not to do it. If you don't like having brothers, why would you sign a guy?
Because you need somebody. Yeah. If you sign Arthur Jones.
You couldn't get just somebody that's not his brother?
I don't know.
I don't think he's averse to signing brothers.
I do.
I don't think he's averse to anything. I think he'll do whatever's in the best interest
of the
football team.
Exactly.
And I think he would think having a brother around wasn't in the best interest. It's all these gimmicks and interviews and blah, blah, blah.
I think
the kibosh on that.
Bones Jones. And
Dennard hardly ever speaks.
What?
I mean, Dennard doesn't speak all the time. He turns down a lot of
just to me
weekly requests. No, no, not just
about
to you.
Pretty Little Liars.
I thought we were talking about the Joneses.
Yeah. We were.
Where'd the Dennards come from?
Oh, my
or
bad.
Dennards. Which
I was still thinking about.
The argument is the same.
I know.
Well, that's why
they're not brothers.
Brothers.
They're not brothers.
Cousins.
They don't say it the same. He might
relatives.
Not even know they're related.
Yeah. How?
I think if he does the scouting, he'll find that.
But how closely are they? Are they first cousins?
I don't think so. I think it's one of those vague ones like Kevin and Marshall Faulk.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
You know, John
Cromartie
says.
Rogers Cromartie.
Yeah, which he added to get drafted.
Well, it's funny because one of them pronounces it Falk and the other one pronounces it Fauk.
One spells it F-A-U-L-K, the other F-U-K.
We better stop now.
Why, Fred's not listening.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada.
Yeah.
She says, how are you supposed to lead a team,
day by day,
quote, if you can't even throw at the combine? I get the part of not being used to the wide receiver, but guess what? If you're planning on going number one in the draft, you're going to end up on a team that'll probably have you start with a bunch of wide receiver tight end that you don't know. Yes, there's an offseason, blah, blah, blah. Still, seems weak to me, or as Andy would say, pussy.
I agree with her.
That's Fred.
Who's saying they won't throw?
Menzel.
And
that happens every year.
A lot of the quarterbacks don't throw at the combine.
He's throwing at his pro day,
throw
at 20-something.
I do think it's weak.
I think it's weak.
Yeah.
I also think... We had a guy in Cam Newton who could not have thrown any worse. And correct me if I'm wrong, he went number one overall.
Went number one overall, yeah.
Like,
led his team to the playoffs.
I mean, yes, there's a downside. You could make bad throws. You could be a little bit off. But there's also an upside. There's some of these scouts and GMs that say they love it. They're mm-hmm. competitive. They understand it's right. not perfect. They understand it may not be their most,
yeah.
you know, you're not going to complete 71 of 71 passes, blah, blah, blah. So I would do it. If I were a guy like Johnny Manziel, who to me, part of
needs
his.
Needs to, I think so.
But, yeah, that, but also part of his shtick is like gamer. You know, I yeah. just, I show up and
and play.
I'm a gamer. You know, I'm a gunslinger, so he's
watching,
whatever.
So like he's watching film with?
Yeah.
Remember when Calvin Johnson got sort of shamed into running the 40?
And with somebody else's shoes, right?
Yeah.
Like, just do it. You're not going
to. I agree. I don't
Bertrand.
Understand why any quarterback wouldn't throw. It just
doesn't
well,
matter.
Well, I don't. Do.
See, to me, I look
hurt.
At it.
Unless you're
I can see not running the 40 more than throwing. You're a quarterback. That's what you do. You don't sprint. So I can see, okay, I'm not going to sprint.
See, I'm the opposite. I think if you work out, then I don't see why you wouldn't throw. Hmm. But if you choose not to work out, then I don't.
Because I choose not to run.
I don't care if you throw or run. You know, if I'm not working out, fine. I'll do it at my pro day.
Oh.
But I don't understand the guys that do some of the things.
Right.
Not all of it.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
I know.
Saying.
It's
if
just,
you're going to pick one
silly.
Thing as a quarterback not to do, it wouldn't be throwing.
And I actually think I
irks me.
I might be more inclined not to throw if I was like a mid-tier prospect. Because if I'm a little worried of how I'm going to look, if I do it in a controlled environment, yes, they know I skipped the combine.
I'm going to look as good as I can
look. But they don't have the image of me making bad throws in their head. A top pick is, I mean, you're going to be he's not going past five or whatever.
But don't these quarterbacks and their agents understand that the scouts are smart enough to know, yeah, you've never thrown to this wide receiver, so you down. Mm.
But it doesn't have any.
Is that so hard to understand?
But what does it affect?
Well, you could be long or short in your throws, whatever.
No, what I'm saying is Andy's exactly right. Cam Newton threw, and he threw terribly, and he was the number one overall pick. The guys who don't throw, and they're the number one overall pick.
Right,
so,
like Bradford,
what's
he was hurt, but.
I don't know.
What's the difference?
I just think, like.
Like you say, like these agents, they're not smart enough to realize.
You're there.
Well,
just
it doesn't
run
matter.
The ball.
If you're
exactly.
a high. Johnny Manziel is going to go in the top five.
Is
it doesn't matter if he throws
you
or
think
not.
So?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if he throws or not.
Assuming he does not have like a rape investigation or
well,
something
yeah.
between now and the draft.
With him, we should put that out there because that disclaimer is important.
Yeah.
He could show up at some
UIs
strip joint tomorrow night.
I didn't know that it was so certain that he'd go in the top five.
Oh, yeah.
I thought there was some doubt that if he drops past three, then he could drop.
No, he'll be a top five pick.
No, I think it's four. Is the place he's not getting. Is that Cleveland?
I don't know.
There was I think four is the one. But whatever. He's not going to get his draft style. Let me put it this way. Wherever he goes is not going to be affected by whether or not he throws at the combine.
He's already calling out
That's
Bill
all
O'Brien.
My point. Like, guys that don't – go ahead. Yeah. I dare you to pass on me. Shut up. I hope so bad he doesn't take him now.
Then did you see who he's watching film with?
Who? Jaworski?
Kevin O'Connell.
Oh, jeez.
Because
I just assumed Jaworski was watching 52 hours of tape yesterday.
Because Kevin
what
O'Connell –
does Kevin O'Connell work for?
I don't think he works for anybody. I think he just – I don't know. Just – because Kevin O'Connell was in the Patriots system when Bill O'Brien was here, so he's trying to watch tape with a quarterback who was in that system because he wants to impress Bill O'Brien so much when he goes to interview with him.
It's a little bit of a reach to say he was in that system. He was here for a year.
Yeah, I know, but that's who he's watching film with.
Would Bill O'Brien take Manziel?
If he thinks he's the best quarterback.
If he thinks so, yeah.
Would he trade down with the number? Who's number two?
St. Louis, right?
No, Jacksonville's three. St. Louis, two.
St. Louis, right?
So if somebody promises him, we don't want Manziel, would he trade down, let them take Clowney, and then he would take Manziel?
Maybe.
Possibly. Depends what they're offering.
Yeah.
He's in the mix.
Sure.
He's in the mix. Bridgewater's in the mix.
He
Bortles.
Could go. All three of those guys I've seen, different people have different opinions. And I just don't think it's going to affect them. If they don't throw, especially Manziel and Bridgewater. I think maybe Bortles might have a little more to prove because he's the lesser-known guy. But to me, they're going to get judged on what they've done already, not what they're going to do. But like,
except
Andy
maybe
makes,
him.
Andy
he
makes
might
a great
be,
point.
Get judged on what he's going to do off the field.
Andy makes a great point about Cam Newton, though. I mean, you can't go to the combine and throw any worse than that. And he still went one overall. And he was he's successful. I mean, he might not be a star, like a one overall that guy,
but
he's
I'm with
pretty good.
I'm with Fred when it comes to if you're supposed to be this superstar athlete at that position. You show up to the combine if you're working out. If you're working out, do everything.
I don't have any. I don't have any problem if they want to work out. I just doesn't bother me like it does everybody else if they don't.
It does bother me a little. It's just you're there. Just throw the ball.
Or even the wide receiver, the prima donnas, who, if they're not injured, and they say, "Oh, I'm not going to catch until my pro day." Just right. You're
I
here.
I think it's all about
just catch the ball.
It's because of the silly. I think part of it for a lot of the different positions, maybe not quarterback specific, but just the preparation for the combine and the exercises and the training that they do specifically for the combine might not be great for everything.
Maybe,
but I understand where Eric.
Anyway.
I understand where Eric is coming from too. Like if you're doing it, just do it. I mean, what's I don't know what the big deal is.
I don't know. It's like I'm a talk show host. And I invite Jerry Seinfeld. I expect you to be funny. You know, be funny. You're on my show. You know, that's
I choose not to joke today.
That's, right. That's what you do.
I'll joke at my comedy show up next week.
You're
right.
A quarterback. That's what you do. You throw the football. You know, just throw the football.
Sorry, you're so offended by this.
That'd be funny.
I would think you'd be used to it.
But I'm not giving any funny answers today. I'm saving that for you.
But they're going to throw.
I think that's what he did on that show.
What do you care where?
No, they're going to throw at the pro day. But you're at the combine. Other guys are throwing. Why are you special? Just throw the ball.
Exactly. Everybody get out there and
why are you special?
Legitimately hurt. You know, unless you're
hurt, you know,
recovering from a surgery or something.
You know, of course.
Or if you're hungover,
that's not acceptable.
That's not an acceptable reason.
Imagine if he got sent home from the combine. That'd be awesome.
Manziel?
Yeah. Like the Manning camp.
Oh, let's face it. The guy that pooped in the hotel room didn't get sent home, did he?
No, he came here.
That was because he did it on the day he was leaving.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah, send me home. That's where I'm going.
I'm going to New England.
Another Alex, this one from Philly. With all of our annual offseason talk about trying to acquire better wide receivers, defensive backs, pass rushers, I'm going to go another direction. We all know that the window is closing on Brady and his skills are not what they used to be, although he's still elite. What I think will help Brady, other than better wide receivers, is a more consistent and even explosive run game. I know Paul will disagree, but I think at this stage in Brady's career, the run game needs to be more than just complimentary. It needs to be a factor. I like Blunt, but I don't think he's worth paying big dollars. I'm done with Mr. Fumbleitis Ridley, and I'm starting to think that Vereen will never be what we all hoped he could be. There is one name in free agency that I would like to take a chance on.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Darren McFadden. I know he is injury prone, so that means he fits in right away with this team. When healthy, he's a guy who can hit the home run on the ground as well as catch, and he shouldn't command as much coming off a down year. What do you guys think?
All that is true. He'll command more than they want to invest, but he will not command as much as...
I like McFadden.
I love McFadden.
Yeah.
Very top heavy.
I don't know if I'd...
Top heavy.
I wouldn't
very
want
small
him.
Legs. He's very...
Really?
Yeah, he's upside down pyramid.
How about Jones Drew?
No interest. Not much tread left on that tire.
Maybe he does. How do you
well,
know?
Well, Mendenhall.
That's ridiculous.
I don't have any interest in the emailers, right? In any real running back.
There's a lot of running backs out there.
There are, because people are coming around to my way of thinking.
Right. That defense doesn't win Super Bowls.
They just plug it in the next guy. They just plug it in the next guy, because it doesn't matter. But McFadden I love, and that to me is a Patriots-like signing. Like, here's this guy that was supposed to be all of this, and fourth overall pick, I think, and now 5-6 years later, I can get him.
He's not all that,
and he's you
as
know,
I predicted.
Plus, you go from like the worst organization.
Just so you know,
to
you
best.
Predicted him to get less yards than he did, I think, in one game.
No, that is not true. I actually had a reasonable number for him.
You had 2,000 and something yards or something
was
like
it?
That.
Was
yeah,
it 2,000 or 3,000.
I thought it was 2,000.
I know. I remember I had a very specific McFadden
listen,
number.
He has been.
It was
I
like,
said he
was
would
like
have 3,000.
I thought it was 3,000.
3,000 and something.
I thought it was 3,198.
I could have sworn it was 20. I thought I could have sworn
strippers!
It was
strippers.
But whatever. He has been oft injured, and that was the knock on him coming out. He was. I think he's great when he's healthy.
He's good when he's healthy. Not
but
great.
He is. He's never been able to be healthy for long enough to show that.
So he should play tight end.
Dave from New Hampshire, first time email, a long time listener. Strong safety seems to be a position of need, and I recently found out that Louis Delmas was released by the Lions. I was wondering if you guys think it would be a good idea to go after him. He's a young, hard hitting ball hawk who I would think would give an instant boost. To the defense, especially if they can keep Tlaib. Any chance of this happening, or do you think the Patriots will focus at other positions?
I could see them going after a safety.
I like Delmas.
And I kind of like Delmas, too. I'm not sure they would...
I'm not sure that that would be a fit.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering if maybe I liked him more than I should have based on the fact that Detroit got rid of him. I'm not really sure why. But I would definitely take him, just not sure why he got cut like that. I mean, do you know? I mean,
I don't know the story.
You remember Delvin? We both liked
him. I mean,
Delvin.
He was certainly a Schwartz guy.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's a story behind if like he just hasn't played well. I know he was
Caldwell.
He was hurt a lot. Caldwell was the new coach. Yeah, I think he battled some injuries. I'm not sure exactly why he's available, but I kind of liked him coming out of college, and I thought he had a decent start to his career. But you know, maybe I'm overrating him a little bit.
Big Don from Cali, what's your take on LaMichael Thomas? One word that's associated with his is playmaker. We need those on this team. I'd love to hear your take on him, Mr. and Mrs. Draft. If we draft him, would it be too early to take him with a third round pick? LaMichael Thomas. Is that the kid from Oregon?
That's no. You're thinking of LaMichael James.
I don't know from him then.
You don't know from him? I don't know him either, Freddie. This is the part of the show where I'm not going to do with like the real radio
guys. I think
guys
three's
do
a little early.
And pretend that they know every single one of these guys and start talking about them. It's the one thing I'll give Felger
some
credit
of them
for.
Do know him.
They may know the name, but they don't really know.
Mel Kiper knows him.
Oh, yeah. No, they know all the guys. The Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, those guys, Mayock.
Does not.
No.
Because at the combine, Mayock will say, I got to look at my list here. Who's all
They know most of the names and the players and stuff, but I'm talking about radio guys. You know, like the local radio host will just go on for 5 minutes. They'll talk about this guy like they know who he is. I'm not going to do that. I don't know who this guy is. Did he get thrown off of Oregon?
Andrew from Tempe has a favor to ask. I've been assigned an essay for my English class at my university where we follow a blog of our choice and write about the point of the blog, the content of it, and the credibility of the blog.
Uh-oh.
My first choice is obviously PFW.
Uh-oh.
So I wanted to ask if each of you guys could say how long you've been writing for this blog and how long you've been writing about sports in general. If you could do that for me, it would be very appreciated. So, Andy, you start. How long on the blog?
I don't know.
We
start
how long the blog?
We had a blog?
Well, when did you start? You started in 2005?
But we didn't have a blog back then, did we?
I started here in 2002, thanks.
Well, I'm not counting PR, right?
No, I was with you in 2002.
Oh, really? So you've
been... I don't know when the blog was. We've been
blogs,
writing since
blogs
then.
Didn't really come about until, like, 2004,
well,
05.
I started it in 95, but it wasn't called a blog back then.
Right, it was Curse Chronicles.
Curse Chronicles.
Thanks, yeah. Al.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
So anyway.
2002 and then the mid-2000s.
I think
the
our blog came online like
2007. So Andy Hart since 2002, but the blog wasn't officially named a blog until 2007,
I think.
Okay. Eric?
I came on in 2006.
Okay.
And
ever since.
Yep.
Paul? 18.
With you, 99.
Yeah.
For the blog.
He was covering the New England Patriots.
He actually had a chisel and had to chisel out the stone.
1999 is when I came to work for Freddie, so I've been covering the Patriots here for them, for him.
Going back to the 40s.
He made the book on who would win the revolution.
Right.
I'm not talking
American
about the
revolution. I'm writing about sports for, 25 years?
Yeah, back in the Herald.
Yeah.
But there was no blogs back in the Herald.
No blogs. No. We barely had internet.
Just Agate.
We barely had internet.
Yeah.
Al hadn't made his way to the Herald.
So yeah. There you go. There's your.
We used to go in the library all the time and go on the internet.
And Fred?
Have to call someone and say, I can't get this. I don't know how this got up there.
You got to give yours, too.
Right? Well, yeah.
Boob everywhere.
I've been actually in sports longer than I was with the Patriots. Cause
you and Dick Johnson.
Right. So
I need to get in touch with him.
Redundant.
Do you have a way to get in touch with him?
Sure, I do. Liz and Milton.
I didn't want to touch Dick
Is that
Johnson.
Back in the high school publication days?
Working on a documentary about North Shore baseball. I thought Buckley would be good for him, and I thought maybe Dick Johnson could help.
So I'd say I'm about 27 years, I guess.
This
in
guy.
Sports.
Yeah.
What's North Shore baseball?
It's like a historical documentary on like North Shore baseball.
Like a league?
Okay, why is it exciting?
Or
no,
just like the baseball
what's my
in
hook?
That area.
Well, what's my hook?
For you, probably nothing.
They play
You're
baseball
not from
everywhere.
The North Shore. He's talking about guys like Harry Yaganis and things like that.
Oh, yeah. He's in an arena.
Tony Conigliaro.
Dead, you know.
Oh, my God.
North Shore baseball.
I'm sorry that Bo Jackson didn't grow up on the North Shore. Otherwise, Andy would be interested.
Right.
Well, why is it so much better than South Shore baseball?
It has nothing to do with City quality
League
of baseball.
Or whatever the hell you talk about.
It has nothing to do with quality.
I need a hook. Are you going to work with Bernie Corbett on this?
Am I going to work?
Yeah.
No. I'm not doing anything on this.
In general, am I going to work?
No. Is that what you were laughing at?
Yes.
Good, Eric.
Good to know.
Save that one, Kevin.
See? You know, you get mad when I do it to you and you say it hurts more.
It does.
Didn't hurt anymore coming from you.
Okay. Well, one more email that we'll read before the end of the show. It's from Jordan, who's 4,000 miles away in British Columbia,
That's
Canada.
That's probably accurate.
Football first, then to the subject field.
That hurts more coming from you.
One, could there ever be a way to run the cap where players drafted don't count toward the cap because they've been built by the team? Therefore, they can be paid whatever the team is willing to pay them. So teams, unlike Bill, drafting teams, can build whomever you want as a talent evaluator, or Andy says can build a dynasty if their owners are rich enough. The NFL probably would hate this, so I don't expect a long answer, but next part.
It's called the NBA cap. That was the original NBA cap. They had the Larry Bird rule.
Right.
You could repay your own free agents
right.
a lot more than anyone else could in these exemptions. It's,
right.
it's a soft
It's the
cap.
Opposite, though, in the NFL. They want to pay their guys that they drafted less
right.
when they're kind of.
But,
know.
I mean, it's an interesting idea to right. to give
yeah.
someone credit for
homegrown,
drafting well.
Homegrown.
And
right.
not, you
right.
know, baseball, if they did that, how would that affect the markets and,
yeah.
and the Yankees and all those different things?
It is interesting.
It won't happen.
Yeah.
I think the NFL is going to have basically their hard cap, their type of a hard cap. Forever. I mean, I think that's what they do.
This next part, I think Andy would be interested in most. He says,
Oops.
If wrestlers were equal in their ability on the field as in the ring, Brady and Manning versus Hogan and Andre the Giant, who wins?
Brady and Manning would kill him.
You think so?
Neither of them are really all that great a wrestler. Andre the Giant is huge and awesome. Hogan's not a good wrestler.
Right, okay.
He was a gimmick guy.
Manning, Drop I guess he leg. Means Peyton versus Shawn Michaels. Peyton Manning versus Shawn Michaels.
He shined in the biggest moments. He put on a show.
And Eli Manning versus Doink the Clown.
Okay. He taking it all seriously. Shawn Michaels. He shined.
He's like, the brow was furrowed. You know? Oh, yeah. Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
You know, wait, is Doink? The only thing missing was the sniff and the jutting right. of the jaw.
Is Doink the full-size clown or is that Dink and Doink? Which
know.
One was
I,
the
I
midget?
Don't know from the
I thought he was being funny. I didn't even know that.
No, there was a Doink and a Dink. One was a full-size clown wrestler, and one was a miniature clown wrestler.
Oh, okay.
I think Doink was the full-size.
Okay.
I'd go with Eli, though.
I don't like clowns.
I don't remember Doink being a great wrestler.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition
really?
Of PFW in Progress. Got Andy and Paul leave for the Combine tomorrow. They'll
with
be calling Guillermo. In for Thursday's show.
Paul.
So the show will go on, and we'll get a special live report from Indianapolis. We'll see you then.
But the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.